By the way, email questions are already pouring in for Jessica Drake for Ask a Porn Star for later on today on the Kevin Abid Show. That's still ahead. Also, Dr. Drew will be joining us, too. Right now, though, we need to briefly revisit a story that Kevin told us late in the program yesterday about an unlikely auto accident.
Well, I put a picture up at the website, kevinabid.com, of the woman slash beast. She is unbelievably ugly. And I'm not being mean by saying that.
She
is... I showed Lisa the picture, and she... pulled back in horror.
She looks like she lived under the stairs for 20 years. You know what I mean?
Here's my take when I saw her picture on the story. She's a below average looking woman, but she clearly has been. No, I mean, I think that's how she would have started out. Had she been raised in a regular household with a regular life, I think she just would have been an unfortunate woman. But she obviously has been living very hard for a long time.
Probably a lot of drugs.
Yeah, a lot of drugs. Like. And that has really dragged her down even further. So whereas she might have been a 5, now she's a 2 just because of her lifestyle.
Yeah.
She's a -2. Go to kevinabid.com, look at it. The woman, the day after she got a DUI, the very next day, she was driving to meet her boyfriend and she needed to groom. While she was driving. So she took out a razor and she told her ex-husband, who was her passenger.
Uh-huh. Explain that.
Yeah. Explain how she has an ex-husband and a boyfriend.
And a boyfriend.
This beast.
Well, but, what must they look like?
So she says, will you hold the wheel? I need to shave to get ready to meet my boyfriend. So she
And we're
starts,
not talking legs, people.
Right.
Right.
So she starts shaving down there and they get in an accident.
Now, look, I know these aren't the brightest people going. The story is based in Florida. That almost tells you everything you need to know. But it seems like the ex-husband should have said, hey, listen, I'll drive. That way you can concentrate on your shaving and not have to be behind the wheel.
It seems like the ex-husband a long time ago should have said, no, no, I won't marry you.
Pull over. I'll get out of the car.
No, I mean, I'm saying,
yeah,
how did you even marry her?
Yeah.
What a beast.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that brought us to the topic of dumb things that you've done that caused accidents. And there are plenty of people who have been texting or whatever. Lisa May has the best story ever. It's going to need a little bit of music, if you don't mind.
Okay.
So, Lisa.
So, yeah, I was at a party, this is quite a few years ago, with a guy that I worked with. And
due to the graphic nature of this program, parental discretion is advised.
I just want to make sure we get that out there so nobody is accidentally subjects their kids to this story.
Yes.
And then we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
So we went to the party in his brother's BMW, and we'd been all flirty at work and stuff. So we're drinking at the party, and, you know, we start kind of making out of things. And around, I don't know, 2 in the morning, we're driving back to where I left my car at work. Mm-hmm. And
a warning here. We're dealing with a sensitive subject, which is not suitable for young children.
I decided to make him really happy.
Yes.
And put my head in his lap.
To sleep.
To sleep.
Right.
Take a nap. Right. Mm-hmm.
And at a particular moment where it just happened to happen where the road curves around.
There was a left turn required?
There which he did not make.
He didn't make the left
and
turn.
And drove straight into a pole.
Oh! As did you.
As did you. Now,
luckily, all his parts were intact.
And you were intact?
And I was intact. Everybody was intact. But the pole cracked and fell into the roadway on this curve.
Nice.
And within 4 minutes, 3 other cars had hit it.
That's how good.
Wow, so chain reaction.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how good Lisa is.
That was bad.
and then
so the cops come, and the story we're saying is that my friend fell asleep.
Right? He fell asleep at the wheel, right?
He fell asleep at the wheel.
Because you can't tell the cop what went on.
God,
with his
no.
pants down, he fell asleep, right?
But I needed a ride home, so I had to call my boyfriend to come and pick
Whoa!
Me up.
Whore.
And that's my story.
She had a boyfriend!
Are you a whore? I mean, it's cool if you're a whore, but no right now. I don't get with no whore.
That's an awesome story.
She's a whore, okay?
By the way, I would be willing to bet that on the list of things that people have done that have caused accidents, I would bet fooling around, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Frisky time, I bet that's got to be in the top 10. I mean, I bet that happens quite a bit.
It could be a little distracting.
Yeah, a little
yeah.
bit.
No, she's a whore.
Haven't thought about that.
Whore. 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 anymore.
Lisa, but Lisa rules because she called her boyfriend to get a ride.
How did you explain to him what you were doing out with this other dude at 2 o'clock in the morning?
We just worked together and went to a party, and he's driving me back to my car.
He fell asleep.
Look at this face. You believe me, right?
I would, yeah.
Well, look what the whore cat dragged in. A whore.
All right, so we're looking for your stories of things that you did. Some will be dumb. Some will be completely understandable, like Lisa's story. Not a dumb thing to do. The right choice to make right there.
In retrospect, you should do that again, is what we're saying.
I don't do that enough. Will you buy me that purse I want over there? I'll do anything because I'm a whore.
All right. So 1-800-520-1067. Let's take a couple real quick before the break. Let's get Pamela on from line 5. She has a great story, exactly what we're looking for. Hi, Pamela. Welcome to the show.
Hi. So I was driving 2 lanes down the street, and I was on the left-hand side, and this guy was totally checking me out, and he was driving, and he was just looking at me through his side mirror on the left-hand side, and I just saw him. I just saw the car in front of him slow down, and he would not look because he was checking me out. Totally rammed the other guy, and I just kept on going.
Nice.
Waving.
You kept on going.
Yeah. I kept on going. I didn't know what to do, and I was so shocked, and I saw his hand, and he had a wedding ring, too, and I was just so in shock, and I was wondering, what is he going to tell his wife?
Yeah.
Hey, at least, I mean, look, I know you were flustered. Nobody wants to see an accident happen, but it was 100% his fault. You didn't do anything wrong. You were just being hot while driving. That's all.
Yeah, exactly.
But you could have pulled over.
And given up my number and saying,
yeah, hey. I'm just saying.
No, he was ugly.
Okay.
No.
Ugly and married.
Yes, no.
It's not other a good combination.
Other than that, no big deal. That's
great. Great story, Pamela. Thank you very much. All right. 1-800-520-1067. What were you doing in your car, or I guess in Pamela's case, saw somebody else doing in their car that led to an accident? We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Got a lot to catch up with the good doctor about, plus Ask a Porn Star with Jessica Drake coming up. Right now, we're talking about a couple of awesome stories. One that happened to our own Lisa May some years back. Another that happened to a woman in the news where they were doing something maybe they shouldn't have been doing in a car.
You're using the word woman
accident.
Loosely.
For which one of them? Lisa or
no,
the with a vagina?
Other one.
Lisa's the best.
1-800-520-1067. That's the topic on the table here. What did you do that led to an accident or saw someone else do that was crazy in a car? Let's try Brandon. He's got a great example of what we're talking about on line 3. Hey, Brandon. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Brandon.
Okay, so one day I was really late for work. Now I'm rushing to work. Freeway's clear. I have a straight shoot, so I'm going maybe 80, 90 miles an hour. So I decided to put it on speed control, and I decided to change my pants because I'm properly not in the attire. So ahead, I see the freeway stop. So I put on the brake. Now, I only had one leg. My pants leg are only around one leg.
Yeah.
So I was completely naked, almost naked. So I slammed on the brake. I got down to about 20 miles an hour. I hit the lady ahead of me. It was the most embarrassing thing. So this Barbara Streisand-looking hag came out. And
were you racing to put your pants back on?
I was racing to put my pants back on. And as you know, it's hard to even change your clothes on your pants. Clothes anywhere, like not even when you're driving.
Yeah, but when you're in a car, it is especially difficult.
And if you just had an accident, you've got that weird, creepy adrenaline thing growing through, and your hands are probably shaking.
Oh, yeah, and she just gets out. She takes 3 steps toward me, and she sees me, my back hunched up, trying to fit my pants right up.
Yeah.
And she turned around and just started walking back to her car, and I'm just like, okay, great. And so later on, I went into work that day, and they didn't need me for my shift, so.
Awesome.
By the way, there's nobody at the scene of that accident who believed you were changing your pants. Your pants were down for another reason in every single one of their minds. Let's face it.
She just had this horrified look in her face. And I was like, oh, God.
You're lucky. She might have gotten in the passenger seat had she been attracted to you.
That's fantastic. Right. Great call. Thank you very much. All right. Let's try Allison on line 1. This sounds like a reality TV show waiting to happen. Allison, what happened?
Hi. Well, I was driving down the street. I'm on my way to work, and I work in Anaheim at Buca de Beppo, and there's bums all the time. So I was driving, and there's this bum yelling at me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he doesn't like how I look or if I look like I have money that I want to give him.
Yeah, a lot of times bums don't need that reason. They just yell.
They're just crazy.
Yeah,
so he starts yelling at me, and then I'm like, you know what? Okay, so I start yelling back at him.
Yeah.
I'm not going to curse at a bum, But I was just like, leave me alone, go back to your box. I mean, maybe that was...
Come on, your box. That's so nice.
But then, so he starts chasing my car. And I'm not even on a main street. I'm kind of in the neighborhood, and I then...
You're colossally stupid.
Yeah, I can't over.
Pretty much... Yeah, so pretty much I wasn't paying attention, and I crashed into maybe a parked car. Maybe. It could have been moving 2 miles an hour.
But it wasn't.
I don't know.
Now, did the guy catch up?
Yes. But, and he just sat on the ground and laughed at me.
He did the right thing.
Yeah, pretty much more of the story. Bums are easily amused if you crash your car.
Well, sure. As is everyone.
Best thing that happened totally to him all day.
Exactly, and I was totally willing to buy him a cheeseburger because I've done that before.
Right.
But no, right. He got lost on the cheeseburger.
But after you yelled, go back to your box, that was awesome.
Kind of put a damper on the relationship. Go on anyway. All right, thank you. Bum one, Allison zero right there. Oh, wow, we got some good calls here. Let's try Steve on line 8. Steve, thank you for calling. Thanks for holding on. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Good morning. I was at Les Guys Country Club, 4th of July, when I was a teenager, and I was driving a 62 Ford Galaxy, which has cloth seats, and my friends were in the back as we left the teen center trying to throw fireworks out the car window.
That's the best, by the way. You light them and then you throw them out the window.
Right. And one of the fountains hit the ceiling of the car and bounced back in and set the back seat on fire, and I drove over a fire hydrant.
Awesome! Fireworks in your car. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I knew we'd get plenty of good calls from our audience on this one.
Yep.
You guys rule.
All right, one more. Let's try Sam. Sam is on line 4. Lisa, I think you'll identify with Sam's story. Sam, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Kevin and Bean, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
We're good. You need to be careful how you tell this story.
Okay, I will try my best. All right, man. A couple of years ago, I was a teenager. I was dating a guy, a little bit older than me, just a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Friday or Saturday night. We go out to this club in Hollywood. You know, everything's all fun. Everything's good. We're having fun. It's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. We're on our way home. I started getting a little frisky with my boyfriend or my wannabe boyfriend.
Right. All right, let me stop you right there and just say that the same thing that Lisa had in mind is the exact same thing that you had in mind with similar results, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
So he was distracted and?
He was distracted. I had a couple of drinks and it was bumper to bumper traffic. I figured, what the hell, you know? I got nothing else to do. So I figured, you know what, I'm going to go down.
Got it.
Okay, we got the part we're trying to avoid you saying. For God's sake,
what the hell is wrong with you?
We've moved past that. The guy was distracted, and then what happened?
Everything's fine.
And then they crashed into our cop car.
The guy's,
he's moaning,
and everything's
Sam.
Everything's fine.
Sam, he crashed into a cop car. That's how your story ends, right?
Yes.
That's the part we're trying to get you to tell us instead of the in-depth detail about the sex.
That guy didn't want you.
The funny thing was, it was bumper to bumper traffic, so he's kind of going. He's going, right. Stopping, going.
All right.
Listen, we got it.
Thank you, Sam.
I don't know how. How does he continue with the story?
Why take one call? You can take one call too many.
Wow. Well, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:38.
Another look at the showbiz beat coming up, and then Chad Ochocinco joins us at the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know, Kevin, when most people think of the Final Four, they think of men's college basketball,
sure,
which just completed with Duke winning the national championship a few days ago. Well, that's not the Final Four I'm interested in. I'm interested in the MTV Rock, Paper, Scissors Final Four, a tough field of 78 competitors, ladies and gentlemen, and the winner of $25,000 and Rock, Paper, Scissors champion is on the phone with us right now.
No way.
Brittany Kraft, ladies and gentlemen.
Brittany, nice.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean.
How are you? How are you, my dear?
Good. How are you?
First of all, you're hot, and thank you for being on the program, because we love it when we get to talk to hot chicks.
Awesome.
Second of all, you went down to Acapulco for spring break and had no idea your life was about to change. Am I right?
That's right.
Did you know about the Rock, Paper, Scissors Championship they were doing?
I had absolutely no idea, you know, and they had went to 14 college campuses before spring break for this Rock, Paper, Scissors tournament, and so I had absolutely no idea.
Did you ever play rock, paper, scissors?
I can't remember the last time before spring break, I played rock, paper, scissors. But since then, I've played multiple times a day.
You won 25.
Everyone challenges you.
$25,000.
Yes. It's insane.
But wouldn't this be like me driving out to Augusta, Georgia this week and going, guys, I don't really play golf, but go ahead and let me in the tournament, and then I end up winning the thing.
No.
I mean, that's what it's like, though, is an amateur basically crashes an event with lots of people who probably spent a lot of time, and she ends up winning it. You're like World Series of Poker. You're like the waitress who wins the World Series of Poker.
Exactly. I just came in. They didn't even see it coming.
They didn't see you.
So how many what are they called, games or matches or what in your sport, Brittany?
I'm pretty sure they are called matches, and you have to do the best three out of three.
Right.
Sorry, if you hear that.
What's
noise.
That alarm? Is it a fire alarm? You need to send help.
I'm in my grad chum for teaching.
Okay.
And someone was getting into the school, and a big buzzer goes off. So.
Yeah. All right. Good.
I got you. Okay. Brittany is a college student, as I understand it, Eastern Illinois University. That's where she's speaking with us today. Okay. So, how many matches did you have to win to get to the finals?
You have to do. With each person, the best three out of three. So you could potentially play up to 9 rock, paper, scissors, shoot against one person. But because I'm so good, I didn't have to play that.
You just took people down.
Wow.
Of course, right. Yeah. Now, do you have, I don't want to give away any professional secrets here, but do you have a strategy at all?
I would say there was a bit of a strategy involved in more just the way that you have to think about the game. So I think... I did have one.
Okay. Are there a lot of women in the rock, paper, scissors sport, or are you a little bit of an anomaly to be a champion as a girl?
Well, for the Final Four, and it took place, the preliminaries was down by the beach, but the Final Four was up by the Amp Energy pool party, and it was a lot of fun. And I was the only girl to ever be in the Final Four.
Nice.
Wow.
And then I took it all the way home, so that was exciting.
Nice.
How about that? Now, do you play in a swimsuit, Brittany?
I did. And I had really sweet shades and an Amp Energy hat on. So
all right, so yeah. you're looking the part.
Yeah.
So what happens now? Where do you? I mean, I feel like you're the the UConn women's college basketball team that won the championship again last night. What do they do now? The seniors graduate and they do what with their sport? Where are you going to take rock, paper, scissors next? Now that you're already the champ.
You know, I can't decide if I should just retire. You know, stop. I'm ahead and I'm on top.
Right.
Or continue. But as of right now, I'm fortunate to pay off all my college loans, so continue with
That's
my
great.
Education.
That's
and
crazy.
Becoming a teacher.
Because there are tournaments all over, right?
Yeah, you could go pro.
Yeah, go.
Isn't there a world championship that's in Vegas or
there
something?
There are. I think it might have been held in Canada. I was looking on the, you can go through Amp Energy and look at the rock, paper, scissors, and it tells you all about history, and I'm pretty sure there's tournaments in Canada.
Were you drinking a lot? Were you drinking a lot while playing?
I was drinking a lot of Amp Energy.
He's good. She's quite
the
spokesperson.
Sponsor.
It was great. I never had the juice. And I really suggest you try it, the orange.
All right, take it easy.
I think you do need to go for the world championship, though. I mean, it's great to be the champion of America, but honestly, I think it's time to take it worldwide, Britt.
I think I have a good fan crowd that would support and back me up on that. So maybe,
all right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Make a run for it.
All right, have you played any, by the way, you prefer rock, paper, scissors or Rochambeau? I don't know how traditional you are.
You know what? I didn't even know that Rochambeau stood for rock, paper, scissors. So now I like to refer to it because it seems a little cooler, I think. You know, no one really knows what that means.
Nobody knows what that means.
Okay. All right. Before we let you go, Brittany, and again, Brittany Kraft, BK Kraft, is the champion at the MTV Spring Break of Rock, Paper, Scissors. Have you played any games on the phone in your tour discussing your win?
I have not, but there's a first time for everything.
All right.
Lacey, you want to take her on?
Let's try it.
All right, now.
We got a little girl-on-girl Rochambeau action here.
Are we doing, first of all, it's rock, paper, scissors, shoot. So I'm going to say we'll do rock, paper, scissors, shoot, and then we'll say what we're going to throw.
Okay, so on shoot, you say.
Yeah, I'll show Kevin what I'm doing, and then you say what you
did.
Well,
why don't you just go ahead and say it? Why don't you say it, but both say it at the same time? How about that?
Okay.
Exactly.
All sure. right, here we go.
Okay. That's the way to go.
So
are we going to be the best out of three?
Best
out of three.
Okay. Now, do you want one of us to say rock, paper, scissors, shoot?
Or
yes,
we do?
Because actually during the tournament, I never wanted to say it. I was always just the one that
Okay.
Well, you got to concentrate.
But do you throw on shoot or do you throw after shoot?
You throw on shoot.
On shoot.
Well, you throw on shoot.
Okay, good.
I think it would be weird to say rock, paper, scissors and then the actual thing. So let's do shoot and then say it.
All right.
We would have.
All right. We ready?
Good?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Here we go. Best of three.
Okay.
Bean, go ahead. Be the announcer man.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Rock. Paper.
Okay, that's one for Lisa. Well done. All right. Best of three. Rock,
okay.
Paper, scissors, shoot.
Rock. Paper. Rock.
I believe I heard Lisa with paper again. Yep.
She kicked your ass.
She kicked your ass with two in a row. Do we even have to play the third?
No.
Lisa is the new champion of rock, paper, scissors, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. Can you send her the $25,000?
Yes, I would. You know, too bad you can't take all of my winnings.
Oh, that is a shame. Wow. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for joining us on the Kevin and Beach. Let's talk about the Swedish Weight Watchers story, which seems too good to be true.
Okay.
Because
it's one of those where you go, oh, come on, that's got to be a joke because there's no possible way that actually happened. It was on Saturday Night Live this past week.
A Weight Watchers group in Sweden was surprised when members showed up for their weigh-in at an office building and the floor collapsed, which I assume was followed by a group shrug and a walk to the pastry shop.
It does sound like a cliche, like it's too perfect that look, if a bunch of fat people are in a room and it collapses, that's funny. If it's a Weight Watchers clinic, all of a sudden it becomes suspect. Like, come on, really?
Right, but it's too good to be true. And by the way, it wasn't a room full. It was only 20. They were going there to literally to weigh themselves to see how they were doing.
Right.
And the floor just collapsed, and they took the scale outside. And then the
rogue
collapsed.
Got the answer to their question, though, didn't they?
Yeah, too fat is the answer.
Well, we asked the producer, Alex, to line up somebody on this unlikely story, and I guess we have Mr. Bjorn Svensson on the line from that tiny town in Sweden right now. Hi, Mr. Svensson. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's nice to speak with you. What is that noise behind you, sir?
That is my floorboard in my apartment.
Oh, wow. Is it safe? Is this a good time for you to talk?
Of course it's safe. Everyone thinks because of this one event that everybody who is in Sweden who's fat is going to crush a floorboard.
Well, it's the story plus the sound of your floorboards. Really gave
it is an older building.
Okay.
That is
okay.
The sound the floor makes if anyone was working
okay,
on it.
Okay, all right.
Would be
all
the
right.
Same sound.
All right, take it
all
easy.
All right, we apologize. All right.
You take it easy.
All right, I'm very sorry.
You jokes about all of us Weight Watchers, and so now all the floors are going to be collapsing.
You got to admit, though, that's too perfect. I mean, that's one of those that just sounds like a joke.
It was faulty construction in the building.
Oh, that's what it was.
And so it was not a joke for people who could have been hurt seriously there.
But were they?
No,
all right,
but it could have been a problem.
Okay.
And then you would be laughing then when people are hurt in hospital.
No. Certainly not. We don't want anybody to get hurt. I'm glad that it wasn't that serious. But you were there, Mr. Svensson, at the time of the weigh-in?
Yes, I am a member of the Weight Watchers. That is what that group was.
Right.
Okay.
And I am belonging to them now. You're half. You're and a half.
And what's your weight, if you don't mind my asking?
I am currently weighing 503 pounds.
Whoa! That's a whole bunch.
But that's Swedish pounds.
So what does that work out to?
About 503.
Okay, so it's the same
pounds as yours.
Okay, all right.
So you and your group, you weren't jumping up and down or being crazy. You
all
literally
right,
were just
enough of this with the ho-ho-ho-ho. Isn't it funny? No, we're not jumping up down. We're just having a meeting and trying to support each other's weight loss.
That's a relevant question, by the way, just for the record. Because the floor collapsed underneath you.
One corner of the floor you crashed
right?
down.
Were you standing on that corner?
It wasn't like, oh, look, I'm Bugs Bunny, and the floor opens up and big cloud of smoke or nothing.
Now, it says here that you all thought it was an earthquake at first.
Often that is a mistake we make.
Right.
Every
right.
time I'm walking down the street, I'm thinking, oh, it's an earthquake because many glass windows are shattering behind me.
Wow, sure.
But yeah. It's not earthquake, it was floored. The floor was damaged.
I see.
Okay. All right. So have they repaired it, and will you continue to have your Weight Watchers meetings in the same location?
No, we're going to move location.
You're moving.
Because we're not feeling secure about the floor in that building, as you can imagine.
Yeah, that seems like it makes sense, but...
So we are moving everyone coming my house now.
Oh.
And we will be having meetings in my house temporarily until we are finding new locations.
But Bjorn, it sounds like your floorboards are squeaking and they're under a lot of pressure right now.
Listen, ho, 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 skinny man.
I'm just saying.
Omar, be quiet.
Who?
You got a guy named Omar there?
One of the members of my group, Omar, has arrived, and we are going now soon to be weighing each other.
All right.
Omar, how much are you wearing now these days?
625.
Wow.
620. Nice Swedish accent.
That's really good. That's well done.
That's way to put the effort in, Omar.
Thank you for the improv skills. Now that Omar is here, we can get on scale to see if we've lost anyway.
Maybe you should.
I'm worried about this.
Maybe you should stand on different.
Let me see if I'm losing any weight.
In different parts of the room.
I don't. Hurrah for me. I am now 497 pounds.
Okay, so you lost six. Good.
I have lost 6 pounds.
That's all right. Great.
And I'm feeling very good about myself right now, I must be saying.
I was afraid of that.
Again?
Poor Bjorn.
And I live in the basement.
And now, a moment with Bean.
We couldn't be more delighted to welcome our next guest back to the show. He won an Emmy last year for Best Outstanding Actor in Lost for the show. Tycho Emerson plays Benjamin Linus.
That was A Moment with Bean.
Awesome.
That's maybe the best day I've ever done.
7 minutes after eight.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, you've been keeping track of Debbie? You've been talking to Debbie? You still texting Debbie? How are you and Debbie doing? You guys
something
friends
funny
now?
About that? Something funny about that is that this is a girl that I accidentally texted from Coachella, and I thought I was texting Omar. And we have jokes among us that is not appropriate for other people. So I said some things to her about,
pooping on her head.
Sure. Yeah, there was that. And then she finally said, "Do you have the wrong number?" I was like, "Oh, no, I can't believe it." And so we actually talked to her. And apologize. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I already said that.
I just want to make sure that she got that.
I would never say that to you.
So we're all square then. There won't be any lawsuit coming or anything like that.
Oh, heck no.
We're cool. Okay. All right.
So we cool.
We cool.
None of that's going to happen, I promise.
All right. Yeah. And you don't have to worry about Kevin coming to your house looking for your head, okay?
All right. You're the best.
All right, Debbie. Thanks so much for talking to us on the Kevin and Bean Show. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. We're going to take your calls in a second about you texted the wrong person because... It really is so much worse than calling the wrong person, because at least when you call the wrong person and they answer, you have an audio clue that that's the wrong person.
Right.
When you're texting, there's no audio clue. You just text and maybe they don't respond. You text again. Like I did. I texted like 6 times. I got one response back that I thought was a joke when she said it was the wrong number. So being the funny part was then I went into somebody else's office who wanted to see the text on my phone. So I tried to show him and dialed her number again.
Oh, no.
After the show yesterday.
So now you're harassing her at this point.
Right. And now
she can't get rid of you.
And I don't know how to turn off my phone. It's new and I haven't figured it out yet. So I heard the beep. So then I left a message. I was like, I just wanted to say I'm sorry again. And
nice cover.
Really, it was just ridiculous.
Poor Debbie's being stalked by Kevin.
I might as well just start going out with her. I mean, really.
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. But you really, a lot of people identify with your story. We got so many emails after you told that story, like this one from Hector. Hey, I just heard Kevin talking about texting the wrong number. I had a similar experience, but it turned out a little worse for me. I texted a number that used to be my friend's number, thinking it was still his, but it had been transferred to a 13-year-old kid that thought I was stalking him and told his parents. Well, his parents called me. They were none too happy that I'd contacted their son. It took me a while to explain what was happening. Once they went through the text and saw the conversation, I convinced her that it was just a mistake. All's well that ends well, but I was almost had to be registered as a sex offender for stalking a 13-year-old boy. So it didn't work out very well. Here's another story. How about Diana? Listening to you talk about Kevin's accidental text messages during Coachella weekend, one of my girlfriends texted me one time with the words, "crotchless panties."
All right.
I replied back with, "I'm there." To my disappointment, however, her message was intended for her boyfriend. B, if you're listening, however, I'm still down. That says Diana wants you to know that. How funny is that, though? She thought this was her big opportunity with her girlfriend with a crotchless panties text.
Yeah, that's not good. All right, 1-800.
super disappointed.
1-800-520-1067. We have Isaac to begin with. Isaac made maybe one of the biggest mistakes that I've ever heard. Hey, Isaac.
Hey, how you doing?
Who were you intending to text?
My wife.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Who did you end up texting?
I ended up texting. I was getting off of work, and I would text her, so what's the sexual forecast for tonight? And I... So basically,
you were saying...
Are we going to bone?
Yeah, basically.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I sent it to my sister.
Oh!
You sent that to your sister.
What was her response?
She didn't respond.
Absolutely. 7 o'clock.
Yeah, she didn't respond, so I texted back. I'm like, well, so what are we going to do? And still no response. About a half hour later, I realized it wasn't my sister. She then told my other sister, who then told my mom, and it's all over the family.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
But at least you were talking, you were supposedly talking to your wife, which is an appropriate conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, still not one that you necessarily want your sister to be a part of. That's for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, exactly. It was pretty embarrassing. And then I had to see her over the weekend. So.
And all your right, sister's cool. name is Monique?
No.
Oh, all right. Kevin. What a wow. bean. How wow. dare you say that?
By the way, yesterday at the near the end of the Kevin and Bean 420 broadcast with Cypress Hill, and thanks again to everybody who came out to support that. By the way, that was a lot of fun, and we have the audio of that up at kevinandbean.com if you missed it. Alex got a text message from her mom, who had been watching the broadcast at kevinandbean.com, talking
weird.
About how awesome her boobs looked.
Yeah.
Alex, I was like, I hope that's a text intended for someone else and not your own daughter.
No, Alex's mom is cool. I love her.
Here's Nicole. I can one up Kevin on the accidental texting, and I wasn't drunk. I was driving through East LA one time playing with my iPhone when a wireless hotspot called F Jesus popped up on the screen.
Oh.
I thought it was so funny. I immediately wanted to text my husband about it and have a good laugh because we're both atheists. It was only after I hit the send button that I saw that I had sent it instead to my born again Christian mother-in-law.
Oh my God.
She hated me ever since. It still hangs over my head. Ugh. So be careful is what we're saying.
Well, that's the key is that the person that you're sending it to might love it. But
right.
it's only that person. So then when you send out a text like that, you know, then you send it to somebody else who's religious, all of a sudden it's not nearly as funny.
Let's try George. He's on line six. He went beyond the text. I believe there's a photograph involved
oh,
in
no.
George's mishap. Hey, George, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, y'all.
Who are you trying to text first?
I was sending a picture to, I thought it was my girlfriend.
Okay, a picture to your girlfriend, and the picture was what?
A picture of my yeehaw.
All right, so you sent a picture of your yeehaw to your girlfriend.
Yes, sir, and since my girlfriend and her sister's both names start with V-I, I'm not going to say both of their names, but it went to the sister.
You sent a picture of your unit to your girlfriend's sister.
Yes, sir.
Nicely done.
Back by saying, hey, now I know why my sister likes you so much.
Nice!
Wow, she sounds cool.
That's an awesome way to end it.
Yeah, but the thing is she never told her sister. And every day, every time I see both of them together, she's always making little comments.
Sure, she's holding it over your head. I'd do the same thing.
That's hilarious.
That's the best.
All right,
thank
George. Thank you so much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. You texted the wrong person. We want to hear from you. We'll take your calls next, coming up on the Kevin and Bean. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. We're taking your phone calls about text that ended up on the wrong phone. You were trying to text, maybe your girlfriend, and you instead texted her mom. That's the calls we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. Our frequent emailer, Brad, who listens to the show live on the internet every day through kevinandbean.com in Minnesota, he's your man, Kevin. Listen to this.
Right.
A truck driver called me on my cell phone asking if I was ready for a lumber delivery. No, I don't know if that was a euphemism or not.
That code?
And when it should show up. I told him he had the wrong number and he shouldn't call me at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, a minute later, he calls again. This time I answered and said, yeah, we're going to need twice as much plywood as before and we need it as soon as possible.
That's so what I would have done.
He said we would call the shop and get it going. I don't know what happened after that. That's Brad. He's talking about a phone call. But if you've got a text... a disaster. We would hear about it at 1-800-520-1067.
That's great because if they have the wrong number, they don't have your address, so they're going to deliver that wood somewhere.
Yep.
Whoa.
And that's not a euphemism. Let's try Missy. Missy is on line 8. This sounds like an awesome story. Hi, Missy. Welcome to the Kevin
Hi,
and Bean
guys.
Show.
Thank you. Oh, yes. What happened to me was I was at my local bar. My bartender gave me her number in order to text her so I could reserve a birthday party table. I texted, hi, it's Missy, XOXO.
Right.
No response. I figured she was right across from me. She didn't have to respond. The next day, I get a text saying, you texted the wrong number. Who is this? I ignored it. Figured they'd ignore it. We'd ignore it. We'd move on. Next day was work. I get a call at work from a very hysterical woman saying, listen, honey, if she didn't say honey.
No, I'm sure.
You texted my husband last night with XOXO. I just want to know what is going on. I ignored it. She called me again. Very hysterical. So I'm like, look, okay, as a woman, I'm giving her a call. Gave her a call. She starts yelling at me saying, I'm pregnant. I'm hormonal. What's going on? Why are you texting my husband?
You should have said right back, are you taking care of him? Because if not, that's why I am.
Well, I can't tell you how many times that has happened to me in the last year. So I expected it. And it turns out we made up and she didn't have to kill him, which is actually what she said. Good. I don't have to kill him tonight.
Well, that is good news.
How about that?
Saved a life. That's good news.
Yay.
Thank you for the call. Kevin, you want to get in more of these text missends, right? Because you want to start screwing with people.
Well, I want to receive them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the joke between Omar and I is that I would, poop on the woman's head. That's not something you ever want to text anyone that doesn't think it's funny, which is everyone except for Omar.
Let's try Sarah on line two calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for calling in. What happened?
Hi, guys. Okay, so I accidentally texted...
Wait, don't tell us who you accidentally texted. Tell us who you were intended it for.
I was going to text something to my boyfriend.
And what was the text going to say?
It says, thank you so much. You're going to get it real good.
All right.
And I ended up texting that to my mother.
Oh!
And she calls me
up. Did you give it to her real good?
Oh, Kevin. How do you explain that one to her?
Well, she knows that I usually send, you know, things like that. But she's like, she calls me up at work and she goes, oh, so, Sarah, I guess I'm going to get it real good. Huh? I'm like, what?
You have a mom with a great sense of humor.
And she's like, I must have done something really nice. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to.
Guys, you need to, thank you for the call. Everybody that has these, you still have them on your phone, probably. I know I do. So if you could send those to me, I'd like to put them up online at kevinandbean.com. All of these that went to the wrong people, because that really is just brutal.
Heather writes in, I had an ex-coworker who received a text message from his 17-year-old daughter who was on a class trip to Washington, D.C. The text said, I totally did it. I finally lost my virginity. She thought she was texting her best friend who was not able to go on the trip. He called her right back and said, when you return from your trip, we're going to have a long conversation, young lady. Love you guys. Big fan, long time Heather. Oh, you don't want to text the virginity update to your dad.
No, that's the worst person you can do it to.
Let's try Laura, line five. By the way, a surprising number of these text mistakes are women. I don't know whether they're dyslexic or unlucky or what, but most of the calls that we have here are from the ladies. Hi, Laura. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. So,
All right, go ahead. Laura?
Yes, Laura, go ahead.
Yeah, so I was supposed to...
I'm not
to
feeling good about Laura's call.
My girlfriend who was out of town.
I think I threw her.
And I was supposed to text her, you know, a sexy picture out of the shower. So her name and my ex-father-in-law's name start with the same letter.
Oops.
And I accidentally sent it to him instead.
Your ex-father-in-law.
Yes.
At least he's not your current father-in-law, so you don't have to run into him.
No, but I do see him, and it was pretty embarrassing.
Did he write anything back?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, you've got the goods. Anything like that?
No, he had his son call me, and he wanted to see the picture, but I did not show him. It was so embarrassing.
Hey, did you leave the ex-father-in-law's son for a woman?
Not at the time, but now pretty much.
That's awesome. This has awkwardness all over it. Very
yes,
good.
It does.
Thank you so much for the call, Laura. Speaking of sending booby photos, listen to this from Bob. A stranger sent me a picture of her breasts. I was driving, so I had my girlfriend answer the text. Imagine her surprise. She was convinced I was cheating on her. Nice boobs, though.
Let's go to Anna. Hi, Anna.
Hi.
Texted the wrong person. Who did you intend to text?
My boyfriend, who at the time was away for 3 months doing his law enforcement training.
All right. And what did you text?
I decided to take a picture of my butt.
Excellent.
Okay.
And who did the picture of your butt go to?
My cousin.
Guy or girl?
A girl. Her name ended up being right underneath his in my phone book. And
sure.
At the time, I realized it, and I hit back. And then I went forward again and checked his name, not realizing I had to uncheck her name, and it went out to the both of them.
Oh, good.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I got a text back from her saying, was that intended for me? And it was great.
By the way, those of you that texted pictures, go ahead and send those in as well. Okay. Thank you,
Thanks,
Anna, for
guys.
The call. We appreciate it.
Bye now.
Minutes away from another look at the Showbiz Beat Cycle. Mike is going to be doing it for us this hour. And at that time, we'll also give you a chance to win a brand new TiVo, which, by the way, as far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest inventions of the 20th century and well into the 21st century. Yeah, love really, the TiVo so much.
It really is a life changer.
Your chance to win that coming up in a minute. I know we're done with the topic of texting, but I have to read this one because this comes from a police officer who wishes to remain anonymous. He says, we get a lot of found property in our line of work, and when a person is booked into the jail, we always go through the pictures on their phone. The best part isn't seeing all the boobs and the wieners on the phone. It's what we do next, which is texting those pictures to the people in their phone book. I can't tell you how many wieners I've sent to somebody's mom. You guys rock. Please give Ralph our best wishes. That is from an anonymous police officer. Keep doing what you're doing, sir. Good
Kevin,
work.
Kevin, we so should have been cops.
Oh, if I was a cop, I would have so much fun.
I sense abuse of power every minute of every day that you're a police officer, Kevin.
How dare you?
Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on for Monday?
Guys, I feel bad. I never do this, but a friend of mine dropped by, and she really wanted to come in and see the studio and stuff, so I thought if you wouldn't mind, I'd bring my friend Katie in. Hi,
oh
Katie.
Oh, my God.
How are you?
Oi, this is Russell Brand here.
No, you're not Russell Brand.
It's Katy Perry.
I heard you talk to Russell Brand today.
We were supposed to talk to Russell Brand, but apparently you did something to him. And now
did
his
you
voice,
him?
His voice
He's
doesn't
left
work anymore.
In the bed with bed sores.
Oh.
I mean, not though. It was kind of just like, you know, when you're in a bed too long.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's still bad.
Did you chain him to the bed or what
chain
happened?
Chain him to the bed. No.
You're so much better than him anyway. I mean, this is better.
Oh, thanks, guys. Yeah. That's so sweet. Yeah, this is Russell, and I'm here to talk about my girlfriend Katy Perry and her record, you know, Teenage Dream. It comes out August 24th. Check out her new single, Snoop Dogg.
I'm surprised you're not talking more about your movie,
California
Russell,
Girls.
Considering that's coming out soon.
Oh, you know, that's just, you know.
Not
whatever.
Important. Not important.
Record, not, huh? What, you know, whatever. I think, like, what is that dog movie, Madagascar?
Yeah, that's right.
Sure.
Or Magda or Magda. I don't know.
Russell, tell us what Katy thought about working with Snoop on the song.
Well, you know, working with Snoop, she was like, I don't think she remembered much because, you know, stuff was going down.
Contact high?
No, yeah, I gotta tell you, hi, it's Katy Perry.
What?
Just Perry? In case you were confused.
Yeah. From a, it was as if Russell was in the room.
It was.
That was uncanny.
Yeah. No, it was interesting. I had written the song with the Gin and Juice reference, not knowing that he would actually go on the song. And
Snoop goes on every song. You know that.
No,
now.
I mean, I think he's a very diverse kind of guy.
Yeah.
You got. Like,
I think he wanted
like
to meet Katy Perry. That's what I think.
Yeah,
it's possible.
That's true. He got Drop It Like It's Hot.
Yeah.
He's got like what's the other one? Sensual Seduction.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he could do pretty much anything he wants, and he hasn't gotten shot yet. Which
that's
is great.
True. That's true. That's all true. That's hard
to
argue.
I'm a little scared for my life. You know, doing the whole kind of like. West Coast representing, feeling
right.
like I'm going to have lots of security.
Because of the
on.
Song California Girls?
Yeah. I mean, I just figure, like,
I know you
someone
and
has
Clarkson,
to be the new
you
Tupac.
You and Kelly Clarkson have a big feud now going on.
East
so,
Coast, West
you know,
Coast.
We do, yeah.
East Coast, West Coast. Might
oh,
be a drive-by
Kelly,
by
yeah.
Kelly Clarkson. Yeah.
By Kelly.
By the way.
Can you imagine? Hey, since you've been gone. That's not this, funny, kids.
This California Girls, by the way, debuted on the Hot 100 this week, ladies and gentlemen, at number 2. That's where it entered
nice.
The chart.
Yeah,
was at number 2
yeah,
of California
thanks.
Girls.
It's almost not fair.
But look,
well,
I know you're
a lot
just
of manipulation.
Yeah, all right.
I know you're just stopping by and you don't have much time, but I have to ask, Katy, how are you so hot? What's that about? I mean, my God, you're Maxim's Hot 100 number 1 this year. The list that just came out.
Well, you know what's so funny? I thought this was God speaking to me right now.
Yeah, where that voice was coming from?
Because I was
from,
like, where the hell is this?
Yeah.
Thanks,
please
God.
Please treat me appropriately.
God has noticed that you're number 1 on the Maxim. On the Maxim.
I think it's kind of like an early April Fool's joke, honestly.
Oh, come on.
I
Come
do. No,
now.
I mean, I'm playing the humble card so people think I'm humble.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. No, I think it was kind of funny. I like that they threw a curveball in it, you know, because I've got the boobs and the butt, but you got to have the.
Yes, you do. You
brains.
Are so full of wind, Katy Perry. I got to tell you. I'm so
full of what?
Wind.
Wind.
He said.
Oh, wind.
Wind.
Yes.
Like wind loss.
And
oh,
so
wind.
Yes,
oh,
not,
thank
wind,
God.
Not,
I was afraid Ben was like, what the.
The only complaint we've ever had about you, because we don't play your records on our show, but we love you so much. But the
what,
only
what,
complaint
what
we've,
show is this?
We will
the Kevin and Bean
Kevin
show.
And Bean show.
The
on
good
what
one.
Station? I'm just the kidding. Come on.
The only complaint we've ever had is we don't want to see you get married, and I don't care to who to anybody. We don't want to see you
well,
get married.
Well, it's not that's, like I'm going to have sex with you, and I
but
not
as long
like
as
I
you're
ever
single,
plan
as long
on
as
having
you're single,
sex with
there's
you.
There's still a chance, though.
Yeah, we told.
And no matter how slim, there's still a chance.
I'm not going to have sex with you either.
I know, but as long as you're single, maybe somehow you hit your head,
roofied or something. Yeah. I don't know. Something could go wrong, and you could just be desperate. You know?
Yeah.
No, not going to happen.
You know, that's why I'm naming the record Teenage Dreams, so that I can be in your cream dreams.
All righty then.
Okay, let me ask you the question another way then. Aren't you only like 24 years old or something?
I do feel like a little bit of a young Priscilla Presley.
You shouldn't be getting married is what I'm saying to anybody. Okay, 25 is too young to get married. Who's with me?
How old are you?
900.
I'm old enough to have gotten married, but I've
said several times. Listen, several Abraham. Not everybody has to wait till 900 to have a child.
We love you and we worry about you. That's all I'm saying. I just don't want to see you make a big mistake.
Don't think I'm not worried about you that you're not even in the studio and you're on some kind of television screen from the 90s.
It's a legal issue.
So
if Katy Perry showed up more often, I'd live in California and be in the studio. Believe me. I didn't know this was a legal issue.
Well, He's not allowed.
You have worries about me? I've got serious worries about you.
You should.
Let's go. We're all concerned for each other's welfare.
We met Russell. Russell came in. He's a lovely guy. He's great.
He is a good
brilliantly
guy.
Brilliantly funny. Charming.
I think he's funny and he's like intense. He's really intense. To me, he's kind of like an Oscar Wilde meets Peter Sellers meets Jim Morrison meets Charles Manson.
That's a combo.
That's interesting.
It's going to take me a while to. Yeah.
Three dead and one murderer.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes, basically.
But you know, and I don't mean this as an insult, but you know you're the poster people for She's Too Hot for Him.
That's not true.
It is true.
However, Kevin, a lot of the ladies find Russell Brand very,
I know
very
they do.
Sweet.
A lot of them, and he's met a lot of them.
Yes, he has.
He has met.
He has put his work in, as we say.
A lot of them. Yeah. He was just being thorough, as
That's
he says.
That's all over now.
Thorough to find the right
but
one.
But now he's completely different.
Yeah, he's an extreme personality. You know, he had a big past with drugs and alcohol, and he's gone extreme to, you know, being sober. And he's just one of those extreme guys.
Are all the stories true that we hear about him being the girl in the relationship and planning the wedding and caring about the flowers and all the colors and that kind of stuff? Is that all true?
I planted all those stories.
Did you? So they're not true?
To throw us off the scent? You're a bridezilla?
No, I'm not a bridezilla.
He's a bridezilla.
Yeah.
He's a groomzilla.
It's so much fun. I have a little bit of fun with him and plant these stories just because I can. And I have a lot of extra time on my hands,
You're not to be trusted.
No.
No.
Highly manipulative.
All right. Well, listen, we are out of time. But the beautiful Katy Perry, ladies and gentlemen, has stopped by the Kevin and Bean
Show.
California Girls is the song.
How dare you?
Teenage Dream is the new album coming this summer. You're going to be performing next month on the MTV Movie Awards, as I understand.
What?
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. For Kevin and Bean.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. All right, we need to do this real fast because otherwise the management will run in and thank us for thinking outside the box. And we don't want that.
Right.
God forbid we do anything experimental. The email begins, "Hey, Kevin and Bean, my name is Eric." Yeah, Eric, I'm a big fan of the show. Thanks for ruining my life. Hello. File. Ding. So we know what he's talking about there. I've had a very productive summer spending the whole day looking at Tosh.0 videos, which is one of our favorite shows on Comedy Central, by the way. And I came across something Daniel was talking about called the Cinnamon Challenge. Have you heard about this? There's videos all over YouTube. Supposedly, it is impossible to swallow a tablespoon of cinnamon without throwing up. Do you have the video of Tosh trying to do that?
I do. I'm about to do the Cinnamon Challenge.
That sounds you want to hear.
That sounds
so. Okay, that is not sexy. Eric goes on. I think you know where I'm going with this. Beer mug needs to do it.
That's
just
what I'm
attack
talking.
It without warning. Don't let the lawyers find out because they always step in and stop you. Just do, hey, it's Ralph Showbiz Beat, and here's Beer Mug, and he's going to rape the Cinnamon Challenge. Yeah. So, Eric, great idea. That's exactly what we're going to do because Beer Mug happens to be here today.
Eating challenges are the name of his game. He has never won one. He is super lame. He's Beer Mug. Yeah. What's he gonna charge? Easter beads or hot dogs, you know he'll never quit. K-Rock's Kevin even made him taste Porsche. He's Beer Mug. What's he gonna charge?
Alright, you can go to Kevin.
KevinAndBean.com, and you can see a wide assortment of Cinnamon Challenge videos, including the Daniel Tosh one. You can see some people who are failing spectacularly. There's even one woman on there, by the way, who I think came up with a great approach. Now, and she succeeded. Muggs, have you had a chance to look at any of these videos and research for the Cinnamon Challenge yourself?
I did. She, the lady you were talking about, she actually put the cinnamon in her mouth and held it there for a while.
Okay.
I think
okay.
did under like a couple minutes, and she just kind of let it slowly dissolve.
This one doesn't
in her mouth.
Seem impossible.
Yeah, no,
it doesn't.
But I do have a bukkake shield because I don't want because Muggs is just gonna, and then I don't want to be covered. I can.
That's what we're afraid of.
Right.
Lisa, what did you hear? You had an interesting theory when we brought this up off the air about why cinnamon is so difficult to eat.
Well, I don't think it absorbs water easily. It's a very fine, powdery substance. So right. when you put it in, it actually probably starts to choke you.
But it's just a tablespoon.
But you can't get it wet.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
All right. So is there a, do we know, is there an official time limit that we're going to put on Beer Mug, how long he has to try to swallow
well, I think
cinnamon?
We'll go with a minute.
We could give him a year and it wouldn't work.
Well, thanks, Lisa.
Sorry, Beer
Mug. Mug is a fail when it comes to all eating challenges. He's never succeeded one time before, but this looks like one like I think lot. He's got a chance.
Go all ahead right, and so flatten it out. You don't need to add any to it. You, there you go. Okay. All right. He's got a tablespoonful of cinnamon.
All right, Mug, any last words?
If I die today, just tell everybody that I love them, and Lightning, you can have my car.
All right.
Oh, nice. Good enough.
Here we go. Okay. All right, here we go.
Good luck.
Here we go.
Good luck.
All right, he put the whole thing in his mouth all at once.
It really is a lot of cinnamon when you see it measured out.
Now he's got a mouthful of cinnamon.
Because usually you would just use a few sprinkles here or there to flavor.
No reversals.
Bean, I got news for you. It's already not going well.
No reversals.
Really?
You still have 50 seconds. No reversal. Wait.
No, vomiting.
There's a puff of cinnamon.
There's a cloud in the studio now. His eyes are watering. He's shaking his head no.
Again, you go to KevinAndBean.com to see videos of others who have tried. And Lightning is in the studio filming this. And we'll put this one up later today,
too. No reversals. You got 30 seconds.
There's another
problem. It's not going to count if you blow it all out like you're smoking.
Cinnamon. It's like smoke coming out of his mouth.
Let's maybe not ask Mug so many questions right now.
You're not asking him anything.
He's trying
to
hold it.
Miserable.
Yeah.
Are you swallowing? I can't.
Are you swallowing any of it? No.
No way.
Not swallowing any. Oh, no. Nope.
Oh, no. No reversals.
Don't go to the trash can if you're going to do that because. Go to the trash can.
Oh, that was
it looks like we're going to get a reversal. Oh, no. We've got vomit.
Oh, that's not how we wanted that to end.
It can't be done.
This much vomit hasn't been seen outside of Germany in decades.
Oh, the Cinnamon Challenge.
Let's not pretend we didn't think that was going
to
happen.
Come over to the microphone.
I hoped he wouldn't vomit.
Why is it so hard?
Because it's just so dry.
Yeah.
Right? It's so dry, and there's no way you could swallow it. And
that's what she said.
If you try to breathe,
right.
If you try to breathe, it just gets in your nasal cavities. And,
So it was tasty? You enjoyed it?
Not at all.
You want to try to get right now?
No. No.
Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph will be here with the Movie Beat later on today, and Kyle Gass, you know him, you love him, from his other band with Jack Black called Tenacious D. He's got a band called Trainwreck. They're awesome, and they'll be joining us later on playing live. By the way, a quick tip, you ought to be on KevinandBean.com every day because we update it all the time with new stuff. Kevin, did you see my post from last night?
Nope.
CPR video with lingerie models.
All right.
I'm just saying, now's the day. If you've always said to yourself, hey, one day I'm going to learn how to perform CPR in the event of an actual emergency and I can save a dude's life, now you've got an opportunity to learn it and you'll never forget the images that you see on that video. Go immediately to KevinAndBean.com and check it out.
I learned it once, but now I think I'm forgetting a little bit
of
it.
Well, you do need a refresher course.
I need a refresher course.
Absolutely.
Little bit of a refresher. Exactly.
All right, let's talk about Twilight. Let's talk about that movie series.
Okay.
Because the entire cast or most of the stars were on Oprah yesterday, including Rob Pattinson, who joins us in the studio today.
Hey.
Hey, Rob.
How are you?
We're good. How are you?
Very excited, evidently, to be here. I'm energetic.
It sounds like it.
Evidently.
Sounds like you're crawling out of your skin with the glee right now is what you're doing.
It can be tough to be me, but, you know, I am excited.
Okay, sure. Good.
Rob, on the Oprah yesterday, you had this quote. It's a great position to be in because you can walk into a room and everybody's screaming. That sounds like a hellish way to live. You can't enjoy that.
It's a burden.
It's a what?
It's a burden.
a burden?
Tough being Rob Pattinson,
it
is it?
It can be.
Having all those girls want to have sex with you all the time?
I only have one friend. It's my acoustic guitar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm forced to live in different hotels,
mm-hmm.
such as the SLS Hotel, which I'm staying at right now in Los Angeles.
Don't give out your room number yet. Why do you do that?
You give out your room number, and then you're not going to get peace. Do you really want? Do you want peace?
He's getting a lot of peace.
Yeah. So you're on Oprah, and you had this.
That's a pretty good line from the broad.
It was not bad from the broad.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you're on Oprah, and you say this.
I used to want to be a rapper when I was 14.
No, you didn't.
I swear to God, I have a lot of recordings of it.
I wish I didn't know that. I found them.
Wanted to be a rapper. You.
It's not so much that I wanted to be a rapper. It's that I didn't really have much of a choice. You know, every single day as a gorilla pimp and as a drug dealer out on the streets.
No, you weren't any of those things.
I didn't enjoy having to raise my pimp hand to get my money, but bitch better have my money. And I was a young man.
You were never a pager. A pimp.
I was.
Okay.
Okay, I was forced into this lifestyle.
Okay.
Growing up in Compton.
You weren't in Compton.
No, you're
Compton-shire.
In England, right?
And it's that's the lifestyle that I was born into.
I see.
And my father was a thug.
No.
My granddaddy was a thug.
Neither
I don't
them.
Think either of that is true, yeah. So before
I had Henny in my baby bottle.
Nope.
Yep. I don't think that's true either. Before the acoustic guitar was your only friend, then you used to rap. That's what you're telling us.
I used to run the streets, and to fund my rap career, I sold crack and I pimped.
None of that happened.
It's true. You didn't do any of that.
But you said you did have some samples of your rap. I have a beat. Would you mind, are you good at freestyling it?
I mean, I did win Rap Off 2004.
You did? You were in that competition?
Rap Summit. It was Corrupt. If I remember correctly, it was Corrupt. It was Eminem.
Right. Right.
It was myself in the finals. That was in Detroit,
in
2004.
The
yeah.
Uh-huh. And you won?
I won. So, I mean, I have some experience in...
It's weird that we wouldn't have heard of you back then, but okay.
Oh, I win so. Under a different name.
Oh, what name was
your name?
Super Sick Shark.
Really? See, here's the problem, is that 17 other names came to his mind, but he can't say them.
Right, exactly.
All right, I have a beat. Do you mind indulging us with a
little... I have some experience with freestyle. Let me give it a shot. You know what? Let's do this.
Okay, all right, here we go.
Let's put my name.
Rob Pattinson.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody say hey. Everybody say hey. Now scream. I'm about to get live. I'm about to make it pop.
Hey, Rob, I'm sorry. We can't hear you.
What?
Can you project a little bit? Speak up some? Because the music's
project.
Blasting.
I thought I was going to break your microphones. I was screaming so loud.
No, we can barely hear you.
Yeah, if you could just all right, you pump
want me
up the volume.
You really want me to get live up in here? You want me to tear the roof off the place?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Love to.
Right. Here we go. Rob Pattinson.
Yeah. They call me R-Pats, and I'm up in the house. A stone cold pimp. I always turn the bitches out. Gonna show you what thug life is all about.
What was that last part?
Huh?
It sounds like you ran out about two lines in, then you didn't have anything else to rap about. Is that all you got?
Well, I was.
You were
flowing.
Going. Blah, blah, blah,
I was,
blah, blah.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah.
I was saying.
I'm R-Pats. We heard that.
Lisa, you're gonna do the chocolate pizza.
Nope, you never said
that.
All right, one more.
That's a piece of tush I want to eat.
No, you didn't.
I didn't
one
hear that
more
either.
Shot.
That would have been good.
And then we got to go. But we'd love. I mean, if you're really as good as you say you are, you know, give us something.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody, get live tonight because our patch is about to break you off. Yeah, you ready for some sick rhymes, everybody?
Yes.
Yeah. My nickel plated 9 is always on my hip. If I catch somebody slipping, gonna unload the clip. Cause it's...
Well, what's that? What's that about? Robert Pattinson? You're just mumbling.
Are you eating?
Bullets.
What? You just said bullets.
Tennessee.
In Tennessee. That's not considered freestyle,
interest
I don't
me.
Think, because you remember like a line and a half, and then you want me to keep going?
Mr. Finnessy.
I think you're wise to leave the rapping behind and concentrate on just being dreamy, I guess. That's what we've learned today.
What?
You're racist.
Racist against who?
Me.
Because?
Picking on my raps because I'm black.
Oh, boy.
Got a lot of problems.
Free Kato.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Got an email at the end of last week that I thought was fascinating. And what a lucky Kevin and Bean listener Haley is, because she was hanging out with Bono over the weekend.
What?
Well, yeah, she's hanging out with Bono from U2.
That's not possible. He's had emergency back surgery in Germany. He's
No. She met this guy at the Renaissance Fair, and he was Bono. So we wanted to find out what the story was. So we invited Haley to join us on the show. Hi, Haley. How are you, my dear?
Hi, guys. How are you? Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
We're doing great. You were very excited when you emailed, but also very upset by the lies that The Edge was spouting on our program last week. What happened?
Okay, first of all, Bean, why don't you just take away my birthday? I know that this is crazy. I emailed you guys because Ralph did a segment about the fact that it was all over the news that Bono had had emergency back surgery.
Right, yes.
He was postponing the concert and everything.
Right.
Well, I happen to work the fair.
The Renaissance
Fair. You mean the Renaissance Fair, right?
I do mean the Renaissance Fair.
All right.
Huzzah.
Huzzah. And it was closing weekend. I'm walking backstage, and there's a limo there. And we've had celebrities there before. I mean, the Playboy Bunnies, along with Hugh Hefner, were there and a couple years back and stuff like that. So it's not uncommon. So I saw the limo, and I was like, oh, I wonder who's here. And they go, well, look who's on the registration, because any celebrity has to be cleared to be here.
Sure.
Except Bono.
They won't just let anyone show up.
No, not the Renaissance Fair.
Right.
You want to keep the riffraff out.
You try to keep the 21st century out is what you try to keep. All right,
thanks,
so
guys.
We don't have a lot of time, Haley, but so you find out that it's Bono. You see his limo there, and then you see Bono himself. Now, you went up and talked to him and got a picture, right?
I did, and of course I was like, you know, it probably isn't him, blah, blah, blah. I'm telling you right now, if it wasn't him, it was his exact doppelganger. He had every single sign of him. He had the sunglasses. He had the one bracelet, which I think to me was kind of the biggest kicker, the charity that he worked for, the white bracelet.
Wait a minute. I think the one campaign is strictly a red color. Unless I misunderstand it. I mean, I think the wristbands are red, the iPods are red.
I didn't even look at the bracelet. I just looked at the fact that I look more like Bono than this guy. That's what tipped me off. So what happened is Haley sent the photo and said, "Why Bono's reps are liars. Why are they reporting this bogus story about the back surgery? Look, here's a picture of me that I took with him 2 days ago." And Haley's accusing me of being mean, but I wrote back, and I wasn't mean at all. I just, because I wasn't sure whether she was kidding or not, I said, "Look, I don't know if you're joking or not, but this guy doesn't look anything like Bono." And then she really got upset with me, as if I were somehow, you know, telling her the Santa Claus myth.
No. Of course, tone of voice, it can't. I was like, in my head, I was like, Bean, come on, you have to back me up. I adore you. I'm always on your side on the show.
Except for the fact of the photos, obviously, show this guy is not Bono.
He's not Bono at all. Right.
All right, here's number one. Number one is we heard from the record company that The Edge wanted to talk to us. He called. He told us himself that Bono had back surgery. This is how it happened, blah, blah, blah. So we know that already.
That's
going
a pretty
in.
Reputable source, hearing from a guy in the band that Bono really had. Okay.
So then you send us a photo of a guy who Sal Masekela looks more like Bono than this guy. I mean,
if you had said, "I met Fat Patrick Swayze backstage at the Renaissance Fair," then I would have said, "Yes, absolutely. Look at that. It's Fat Patrick Swayze."
No, absolutely. Look, I am totally open to being like, "Oh my gosh, I was totally duped."
No one's ever been more duped than you were right then.
I'm just saying.
Look, Haley, here's the thing, sweetheart, and I'm glad that you sent this email to us, but here's what I'm thinking. I completely understand why you got caught up in the moment, and this guy does, you know, he's going out of his way to try to look like Bono, and he's got the limo and everything. Like, I understand why at the moment you thought, oh my God, maybe that's Bono.
But then he had sunglasses, don't you see? Sunglasses.
But once you drove away from the Renaissance Fair and put back on normal clothes and then stopped and thought about it, you had to go, well, there's no way that was Bono, because obviously he just had back surgery and he's in Europe. I mean, that should have ended it.
That's a lie, Bean.
What I'm saying is, in the cold, harsh daylight, that should have ended your fantasy that it might be Bono. And that's why it was so hilarious to me that you kept emailing me over and over again trying to get me to back you up when it was so clearly not him. That's all. It just struck me as very funny.
Fair enough. That's totally fine. That's fine. That's totally fine. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. okay, fine. I'm just not going
to
say anything.
Here's what I like. I like that Bean thinks that she's going to go to the Renaissance Fair and then take off those clothes and be normal.
Well, maybe that's like the problem.
I like the part of the email that said, yeah, Bono is hitting all the girls at the Renaissance Fair. I said, yeah, Bono needs to troll for women backstage at the Renaissance Fair. Come on. Well, none of this makes sense.
There are guys that are into big boobs. Let's be honest. Exactly. And that's what the Ren Fair has.
Yeah, Bono can't find them except at the Renaissance Fair. You're right, Kevin.
Hi, Ralph. How are you?
Hi there, Haley.
Haley, you didn't sleep with the Bono impersonator, though, right? Okay,
oh,
good. Well,
stop
that's probably why he was there.
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
It happened in the limo. Admit it.
Oh, my gosh, no.
You didn't even wait to get home.
Said, hey, if this limo doth be rocking, do not cometh a knocking.
Hey, Fat Patrick Swayze, come on, let's go. Let's get your limo.
Oh, Haley, you are awesome. Too much. Thank you very much for sending us the email. We appreciate talking to you, all right?
Thank you so much for listening. I would rather be told the truth by anybody else but you guys.
You rule. You rule, and you're crazy.
All right. I love you guys.
All right.
Wow.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye, Haley.
Wow.
She's deluded.
This dude is not Bono. That's what we're saying.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Psycho Mike is so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Renner, let me go get you some coffee. Oh, what can I do for you, sir? I saw this guy in a movie. He was defusing bombs. He's so macho. I love him. I need to serve him. I need to pleasure him. Oh, I love him.
Take it easy there.
He's
done
all of those this morning.
So he's out of the room. Jeremy Renner is here. He, of course, is one of the fine stars of a film called The Hurt Locker. There's never been a movie easier to see. Check this out, you guys. The Hurt Locker, which is enormously critically acclaimed, has been out since last summer, is in theaters right now, currently in theaters. It's on DirecTV pay-per-view. It's on cable, on demand. You can get it on the iTunes. It's available on DVD. It's you. If you haven't seen this movie yet, it's on you because it couldn't be easier to find. That's my point here today.
And it's an amazing, amazing movie. Jeremy plays Sergeant William James. And you go in. These are the guys that are defusing bombs, IEDs, in Iraq.
That's right.
Tell me about the screenwriter. How did he... Did he go over there?
Yeah, Mark Brolo is actually not really a screenwriter. He's a journalist, and he was embedded with EOD in Afghanistan and Iraq, and started writing. I think he ended up writing something for Playboy or Rolling Stone, an article about it, how it's kind of an underreported war, and nobody knows what EOD is, explosive ordnance disposal, IEDs, all these sorts of things. And Catherine got a hold of this article and decided, hey, let's write this movie. I think there's a really interesting story in here.
But so it's not based on one person's story.
None of the characters are all sort of fictitious. Even like Will James is not even a really great staple of what EOD is. I mean, he kind of doesn't exist even. And everybody in EOD knows one guy like Will James.
Right.
We don't know if he's alive at this point.
Tell us. Describe him for people who haven't seen the movie. That character.
The character is a bit, I don't know, it goes against the grain, and it's not really the way of the Army or EOD, because you have to follow protocol. So he bends rules and puts his life in on the line every day, and more so than he actually should.
Right.
And in so doing, he puts, other people maybe in harm's way, perhaps.
When I was watching it, I thought, oh, wow, this is the bad guy. Like, because their reaction to your character immediately is, whoa, we do this by the book and blah, blah, blah. And you're taking off your suit. You're going up. You're working on bombs and stuff. And it rubs them the wrong way. And I thought that's what it was. That's the direction it was going to go. But as the movie goes on, you're kind of become the hero.
Right. Well, that's, I think, the great part of the script and the character. It's just sort of a slow reveal of, you can certainly judge him as that, which is kind of great.
When you see him at first, you go, wow, this guy is dangerous.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want to work with him.
Right, 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 right. And then as each sort of, cryptic thing starts to happen, then you start to realize, oh, wait, let me rethink this.
He's the guy that we need out there doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's such an adrenaline junkie, and we hear that from time to time of people who are in a war situation, and sometimes I guess you have to be. You need something to get you up and get you going, because it's such a miserable existence. But do people really get hooked on it like your character did in terms of everything else seems mundane and boring compared to the thrill of if I screw up, I blow up?
Well, I don't know if they are so much afraid of death as it is. Blown things up is pretty badass.
Right. But is it the adrenaline of this could end poorly every second that...
I don't think it's that. No, they just don't like getting shot at. This is one thing I learned. I trained with EOD for about a year on and off. And I learned all about explosives, how to build bombs, how to render them safe. And when we're walking downrange onto a 155, they already know how that thing is already put together and how to take it apart like this.
The guys, the actual
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, so time on target. They want to get out of there as fast as possible because they know that someone might start shooting at them. They don't know how to deal with that. These guys know how to render safe an IED.
Right.
So they want to get in and out and get it done. They're not worried about that thing going off so much.
As much as snipers.
Some guy
or
just shooting at them. Yeah. They don't know what to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't
yeah.
stop that guy. So that's what they're more afraid of than, I think, than the actual explosives.
Where was this movie, The Hurt Locker, filmed, Jeremy?
We were in Jordan in the Middle East, the borders of Iraq.
I hope there were some nicer areas than what we could see on screen, because that looked like a miserable place to make a movie.
Well, it was actually really lovely, but where we shot was miserable, yes, because you know, it was Palestinian refugee camps. We're like 3 kilometers from the Iraqi border in the deserts. But it's actually quite a beautiful place. It has, you know, some of the wonders of the world there. I mean, the Dead Sea and the Red Sea, and then Petra, one of the wonders of the world.
Right,
the
right.
All these really gorgeous landscape places.
And you've got dozens of what appear to be locals who are playing the actors of the people who are, you know, inhabiting, I guess, what would be Iraq. I mean, were those just people that were cast there on location?
Yeah, well, actually, a lot of them were refugees from Iraq.
Really?
There's a scene towards the end of the movie, this suicide bomber. He's an Iraqi actor, which, you know, to my naivete, I didn't know that they were, you know, banging the boards and acting so much.
Getting agents and coming out and acting.
It was kind of a strange thing, right?
That was an amazing scene that brought everything to a halt, because it's the first time you realize this guy can't help him. I have that clip.
Exactly.
Set it up. The guy's got a bomb strapped to him.
Yeah. There's a guy that has a lot of high explosives on him. Apparently he says, that... someone strapped this to him. They're going to kill my family if I didn't do this. Please get it off me. Help me, help me. And either I believe him or don't. Normally, protocol is shoot the guy first, then take it off of him. But he decides...
Right, because your fear as you approach him is anyone out of your range is going to use their cell phone and set it off and try to kill as many Americans as possible. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's a real crapshoot on how it's going to go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, normally they would take him out and then...
But he kept saying, I have a family. I have a family. Help me, help me, help me. And at some point, you realize it's just too late.
I can't. I'm sorry. There's too many locks. There's too many. I can't do it. I can't get it off. I'm sorry, okay? You understand? I'm sorry.
Let go of me.
You hear me? I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry. No. Get down.
And then there's a small explosion. Man.
That guy had a bad day.
Or
that's
a huge explosion.
Not a good day.
That's no fun.
All right, we need to take a break. Actor Jeremy Renner is here. The film is called The Hurt Locker. As I say, it's available everywhere. You can rent it or iTunes it or go to the theater, whatever you want to do. When we come back, I want to talk about how the movie got made. I want to talk about going through the festivals and then the huge success of this past year and how a chick made this movie, you guys. That blows my mind. What's up with that?
It is great.
An unbelievably talented director named Catherine Bigelow. So more with our guest, Jeremy Renner, when we return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Jeremy Renner is in studio. He is talking about his film called The Hurt Locker, which has been out, it's been out in theaters for the public since last summer. It had a life before that, many months previous in the film festivals, which must be such a bizarre but satisfying journey for you this whole time, Jeremy Renner, since you filmed this movie back in 2008 to see how far it went.
Oh gosh, I feel like it's even longer. It's been 3.5 years, I think, since I started this journey.
Wow. Do you get to the point where you go, all right, it's getting critical, you know, acclaim, but it's not really getting the response that we were hoping? Does that get depressing sometimes? Because
it done way better than you thought it would do?
Just finishing the movie was an absolute triumph, you know? This is a little independent film we shot in the Middle East, so to get this far, everything is just icing at this point. So, yeah, it's been a slow roll. And then, you know, how fantastic is it?
But
I mean, the critics got us this far.
Yeah, word of mouth gets it going. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
What is, forgive me if I missed this in the film, but what is the Hurt Locker a reference to? What's that expression mean?
Well, it depends on who you're asking, I suppose. I think
he's asking you.
Let me ask you, what do you think the Hurt Locker means?
Ooh. Well, having seen the movie, it seems like this guy basically just bundles up and puts away everything that's painful in his life. And he puts it in an imaginary place called the Hurt Locker.
Right. Okay.
But I didn't write the movie. I don't know what it's really supposed to be.
I mean, there's a slang term, sort of, you know, if an IED goes off and you survive, you're going to be in the Hurt Locker. That's the idea. But when I first read it, I thought it was a hospital bed, a casket.
Yeah.
Then while we're shooting the movie,
the food got us a little sort of dysentery-like-ish happening. So, that,
so you were in the Hurt Locker then?
The outhouse was the Hurt Locker.
Okay, all right.
So I got really good at taking that bomb suit off very fast. Yeah. And like, excuse me, I'm going to the Hurt Locker. Be back.
Oh, my God.
That needs to be our new expression for the bathroom here.
Yeah, I'm going to the Hurt Locker. I'll be back.
That suit doesn't seem to help much.
No, no, no.
The suit can be comfortable. I'll tell you that.
It looks like it's impossible to put on. It's a suit that's supposed to protect them from the bomb going off from hurting them, and yeah. It doesn't seem to really work.
It does for shrapnel.
Okay.
Like marbles, nails, whatever sort of connected to the high explosives, even rocks, things like that. And only within like 50 to 300 meters or so, I'm not quite sure what those numbers are anymore. I kind of forget, but it's for shrapnel and not for
the explosion.
The explosion itself.
Sure, yeah. Let me make this point about the Hurt Locker too, because there have been quite a few movies that have been made that are either directly about or tangentially about the conflicts in the Middle East and the U.S. involvement there.
Stripes, for example.
And some of them,
great movie.
Some of them have created some controversy because of the point of view. The thing about the Hurt Locker is, unless I'm wrong, it's completely apolitical. There's no statement whatsoever on the mission beyond the micro story of these soldiers and how they try to survive day to day. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it empowers
no politics.
No, none. It's just it empowers the audience to kind of walk away what they need to walk away with. You know, tells you or forces you to think. Really, forces you to feel. But not what to think or what to feel.
Yeah, I didn't think of that while I was watching it. But yeah, thinking back about it, it is rare to see a movie like that without a take, without an angle.
Yeah,
it seems odd because they all do.
Yeah. Let's talk about this Catherine Bigelow, who, of course, is the director of The Hurt Locker, has done a bunch of other movies before. And we were laughing earlier how strange this award season has been for her to be going up against her ex-husband, James Cameron, for Avatar in so many categories. And I think she won one over the weekend and James Cameron won another one over the weekend. But were there people in the 2008 or whenever the movie was made who thought, well, no woman's making this movie. This can't be right. Were people surprised to see that this was the material she wanted to bring to the screen?
No, I don't think so. I think everybody thought she's on crack or something, but it was a very it was just a very deep, deep, deep hole.
Yeah,
that we were, because we all know that in Iraq war drama in this landscape with three sort of fresh faces, that's not box office gold, my friends.
Yeah, so, that does seem like a long journey.
Yeah, to try to get money to get that made is that's an arduous process.
And three relatively unknown actors. I mean, not huge stars yet. That had to make it even a little bit more difficult.
That's what I was saying. Absolutely, yeah. As your leads. Yeah. And then she got Guy Pearce and all these other wonderful actors: Ralph Fiennes, David Morse, Evangeline Lilly.
Evangeline Lilly,
was
on screen for too little. And I would like to register a complaint with someone. Who do I go to?
Yeah, is there a movie is there for something? 30 seconds. It seems like there ought to be a DVD version of your story from her point of view, which is us watching her walk around the house in her underwear, waiting for the phone to ring.
She was underused, is what we're saying. Not happy with her participation in the story.
You can go to Lost. She's in a bikini all the time.
That's true.
That is a good point.
You know what I mean?
We do that as well.
It's not cheap in it.
I'm just saying.
It does tell you something about the quality of this script and story, though, that guys like Ralph Fiennes and Guy Pearce, and David Morris, you mentioned, that they sign on to do it because, obviously they didn't have to. And it was a surprise to me when each of them came up on the screen because – I think it's smart. You're not advertising it as being a movie about, by these people, starring these people, because it isn't. But they're fine actors, too, and it must have helped to have their endorsement.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it helped us get the movie made. It's a big testament, I think, to Catherine, the respect she has in this industry, and I think the script as well. And I think Rafe really wanted just to run around and shoot a gun and be kind of
is that it?
A bad boy for a minute.
More than anyone else on the cast?
He really had a really good time.
He had a good time. That's odd.
What's next for you, Jeremy?
I'm going to finish this cup of coffee and grab a sandwich.
I don't think he means quite that literally.
Michael, go with you. I know that much.
I'm going to the Hurt Locker.
It's not one of ours, is it?
No.
Just checking.
No, there's a movie called The Town that Ben Affleck directed, and that comes out September or October. Sort of crime, or a bunch of bank robbers. Should be good fun.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Have you already shot that, or you're still going to
shoot it?
Already shot it.
Yeah.
All right.
And then what's next?
On the
you are terrific in this movie, and I know you've been hearing that for, you know, 2 years, but seriously, we can't recommend this enough to the Kevin Bean listeners. You are outstanding in this film, and it really is a great movie. And like I said, when you sat down, couldn't be any easier to find. Whatever format you want it in, it is available, and you should definitely check out The Hurt Locker. And good luck. I know there's still some more awards still to come. I'm, you know, got my fingers crossed for good things at the Oscars for you guys as well.
We need lots of luck, that is for sure.
Thank you, Jeremy. We appreciate you coming in.
Hey, there was a big story last year, maybe the year before, about all these musicians that got together, including a lot of them that we play on the show, Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails, guys from Rage Against the Machine, and they signed a petition to stop the military from using music as torture. Part of it was because their music was being used as torture.
Yeah.
This would be for during interrogations, for instance, in prison camps. They would basically lock a suspect in the room, and they would just blast Rage Against the Machine all day at him.
By the way,
sounds like how you spend most Saturdays.
Yeah, for me, that would be a picnic. That'd be right. Awesome. Rage Against the Machine is my favorite band of all time, but apparently they're not big fans. So not
right,
as happy
exactly.
About that.
So they all got together to sign a petition that says, hey, don't use music, especially ours, for torture. Well, this story that's in the news this week is talking about using music in a completely different way, not for suspect interrogation.
Yeah, it's on the battlefield. Now they're blasting hard rock music on the battlefield because apparently the Afghan soldiers don't like it.
Well, it's certainly not their kind of music.
Right.
Right.
So, but I don't know. I mean, it can't be as simple as they come out and go, hey, where's that music coming from? And then we shoot them, right?
Or, well, hey, turn that down.
Hey, stop the rock music, you crazy kids.
Get off my lawn. Right. Or maybe it's just, you know, they're in situations where they're hiding out. It's a gunfight, a, you know, battle, you know, and they're trying to wait them out. And they just figure if they blast the music, they'll drive them crazy and they'll.
Or they can't hear each other talking.
Yeah, I don't know. Well,
they have giant speakers that can be heard like, a mile or two away. And Marines in Marija, a farming community in the middle of Afghanistan's poppy belt, which, by the way, is about the lightest belt you can get in Muay Thai. I don't know if you know that, but the poppy belt is not very, it's not representative of
it's
of
after, it. Like, the first 3 months.
It's not the tough guys.
Yeah.
And basically it's getting, they're complaining now, and some of the Marines are complaining, but we do have a military spokesman on the line. Let's see, his name is Sergeant Shred Ripmaster.
That's right.
Hey, Sergeant Shred.
Shut up, Omar. Just started the goddamn bit. What's it to you, maggots? Good morning.
Is he already laughing?
Oh, that's right. That's Major Omar. He's behind me. He's laughing. That guy's what a hippie scum. Having a conniption fit back here. Good morning, maggots.
Well, Sergeant, I'm sorry, it's Sergeant Shred Ripmaster? That's right.
You got it. Oldest right. Living active serviceman in the United States military.
Really?
107 years old.
107.
Get some! What's up to you? You hippie scum.
All right. You sound pretty good. All right. So do we have the facts right? You are blasting loud American rock music at the potential insurgents. Is that right?
That's right. We figured it was so culturally against those terrorist scum that they would hate hearing Metallica, Thin Lizzy, Motley Crue, all the good, great American bands. Thin Lizzy, I believe, is from Ireland. I apologize in advance, Bean.
That's right.
They hate that kind of stuff.
Right.
So they'd be coming out of their shanty towns. Next thing you know, get some! Get some!
All right, you don't need to shoot it.
Scum!
All right, you don't need to shoot at anybody, Sergeant, while we're doing the interview, if you could just hold off for a second. So do they just, they just hate it so much that they just give up? They just stop fighting?
Unfortunately, they've come to learn to love that music, as they should, because it's all great music. So we've had to change things around a little bit. We've got a whole new protocol of music that we are blasting these hippie communist scum out of their shanty towns with.
I don't think they're communists.
I think they are. What do you know?
Or hippies.
War?
Well, I just said
World War One, World War Two,
it's Afghanistan.
The Korean excursion, the invasion of Vietnam, Bosnia, Mogadishu, Iraq War One, Iraq War Two. Right now, I'm in trash canistan, buddy. What do you know about
Sergeant Shred? Hey, take it easy.
How old are you?
107.
Get
all right, first of all, take it easy. Second of all, what do you think about this Lieutenant Colonel Brian Christmas that is... he's complaining about this. He wants it to stop. Okay.
When it comes to warfare, you got to go to any means necessary to destroy your enemy.
Okay, so Metallica's not working anymore?
No, we've got a whole new protocol. We've got these industrial-powered speakers. We put them right around this town in Afghanistan. Okay. And next thing you know, they hear this. Get some Nickelback, punk! Yeah!
Nickelback?
Like
hey, what? Nickelback?
Your eardrums can only tolerate that for so long.
That's true.
That is kind of cruel and unusual.
That is true, yeah.
Next thing you know, we press stop on the CD player, and they think, oh, that must be over. This hell is over. Get some!
dip.
Oh, no, not the Black Eyed Peas.
Sergeant Trey, you might. Are you like this 24/7?
What? I can't hear anything anymore. All I hear, mortar fire.
Okay, you're still yelling. There's no mortars going off right now.
You weren't in the right fatty.
No, I wasn't.
You not... take advantage of freedom, but did you earn it?
No, but
I did it.
All right, so
I shed blood.
All right, so Black Eyed Peas.
And what about this?
Oh, Lady Gaga.
Oh, that is torture. they're going to give up when they hear the Gaga, that's for sure.
There's nothing worse than smoking hash out of a human skull, and that music's going on in the back of your head.
All right. Sergeant, we're going to let you get back to the battlefield, but we appreciate you.
No.
Oh, no, not Limp Bizkit.
No, no Limp Bizkit. You're not using Limp Bizkit. Come on now. All right. Mike, we need the news audio over here for a second, if you don't mind. We're going to talk about lies you told and you got caught at.
Yeah, and we got a great story.
And this is a bizarre story because this girl was living at home for the entire time.
Yeah.
And she had convinced her parents that she went to UCLA, and she was continuing to go to school there for 2 years.
She had dropped out.
She had dropped out and didn't tell her parents for 2 years. They went as far as planning a graduation party before she finally ran away and said she was kidnapped.
And apparently they loved UCLA. They wore UCLA T-shirts.
And a UCLA chair, like bumper stickers.
Oh,
they were all proud.
God.
Oh, man.
Because their daughter went there.
22-year-old Nancy Salas was not abducted. Glendale police say it appears she caved under the pressure of her family to graduate from UCLA this spring. She hadn't attended in over a year, but hadn't told her family.
Because of the fact that she was expected to graduate and the family was planning a graduation, she could no longer face the stress that she was facing. She only had one alternative, according to her own statement, and that was to leave.
Investigators say she took trains and buses, but ultimately walked into a carpet store and asked for someone to call 911, initially saying she'd been abducted at knife point.
Yeah, that was her story.
Yeah.
I got abducted at knife point. I'm in, where was it, Merced?
Merced.
And I got away, and she walked into that store and said, someone called 911. So they, and she held to that story for a while. And then finally she said, I didn't get abducted so much as I just was lying about going to UCLA. Can you imagine? She hasn't attended since 2008.
She made it so much worse, too,
right,
by running away and having people look for her.
Not only that, she was blogging during those 2 years about how tough school is.
And she
and homework, and wow, I'm nervous about finals.
And she was babysitting for a woman, and she would ask sometimes if she could come late so she could meet with a professor.
It's unbelievable. She really put a lot of work into this.
She needs to be an actress.
I mean, honestly, what are you thinking? And you have to know in the back of your mind that at some point this is going to come back to bite you in the ass, right?
I would think so.
So you have 2 years to come up with a plan. Really, running away to Merced and saying that you were abducted at knife point? That's the best you can come up with?
If your parents weren't planning a graduation and going to your graduation, you could possibly lie about that. My parents didn't go to mine. So, you know, whether I did or didn't, they never would have known.
You could say you graduated no matter what.
Yeah, but these people, her parents were like crazy about her going to school.
Right. But so here's my question, though. If you have 2 years to plan, being abducted that's only for the last day.
That's a last minute freak out is what that is.
So then what happened for the last two? I mean, it's still going to come out that for 2 years you weren't going to college.
Especially
how does that help?
Because, like you said, she's doing the legwork for this entire 2 years. She's doing
right.
the blog. She's pretending to do her homework. She paid the guy to be, you know, put on the corduroy coat with the elbow patches. I'm a professor. I'm smoking a pipe. I'm a college professor. Like, you'd think that maybe if you're going to do that much work, you might even plan the fake graduation. With the, you know, with the laser printers being what they are, go ahead, get a fake diploma. But, I mean, at this point,
but what if they're going
to
show up?
They're going to go to the graduation where they call your name.
I'm saying you hire 50 other actors. You're doing the fake graduation.
You don't even have to do that.
No,
you can just say,
UCLA, that's impossible.
No, you don't even have to do that. You can just say they have so many people. This is the main graduation. But our school,
they had to divide it up.
Whatever she was, sociology or whatever she was majoring in. Yeah, they had to divide it up, and they just gave us our diplomas. So we're not going to have a graduation ceremony. But let's have the party.
And you get 60 Chinese kids. Everybody believes they're from UCLA. Trust me. Everybody's like, oh yeah, that's a UCLA class.
What's going through your mind when you're lying that big and you think somehow it's going to end well?
I don't know.
Denial. And their parents had to be paying, right?
That's what I always wonder about. Like, where is that money going?
Even if you live locally, doesn't it cost $10,000 to go to college here?
It's not cheap.
So it's massively immoral what she's done. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can understand being scared to tell your parents you failed, especially when they're that excited about you.
She didn't fail. She quit. By the way,
I didn't mean necessarily failed, like get F's in class. I meant just failed at something in life.
Right.
When your parents are that excited about it, you know, I understand that because you don't want to disappoint your parents. But then you don't go ahead and rob them for the however much the tuition money is, and then carry on this lie. That's just more hurtful.
Yeah, listen, you know what? I'll take the $10,000 in myself. I'd like to pay him myself, and then she's out having.
That's part of it too.
Having a party.
Those checks have been sent to the school,
and then the school would have sent it back and said, "We have no record of your daughter."
This is all very puzzling.
It is. We're going to take your calls 1-800-520-1067. The biggest lies that you told and got away with. I mean, I'm sorry, and didn't get away with.
I want to hear how you got busted.
Those are the funny ones. Psycho Mike has one that he did and never got busted for. Did your parents know to this day?
Well, yeah, because of the show.
Oh, okay. But not until then.
No, I just, the only reason my parents know a lot about me is because of the Kevin and Bean show and now Loveline, because I'll open up about it. But when I was in school, I went to Rutgers University in New Jersey, and my parents, I was born and raised here. My parents lived on the, here in Los Angeles. There was a period where I got put in jail for assault with a deadly weapon. And I was falsely accused, and it's been come to be proven that I was falsely accused. But I didn't have any money for bail, and I didn't want to call my parents and hire an attorney.
Right.
And so I just...
Because that's the, hello, Dad, yeah.
No, I'm in jail. No, but wait, if you were innocent, that call isn't so bad. If you're guilty, that call's bad.
If your son is me,
and
you're in jail,
and
you're calling from jail, and you go, I didn't do it, honestly.
Yeah, that's true.
My dad's a reasonable guy. He goes, yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
Stop it.
You can rot.
Yeah. So I just tried. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And also...
Wait, so how long were you in jail?
20 days.
20 days in jail?
Yeah.
And they never found out?
No. Until I told that story.
Did you call
on the air.
Them or anything?
Just after the 20 days, what happened was a girl who witnessed took this amount of time to find out that I was in prison and had been charged. And she went forward and
cleared your name.
Yeah, cleared my name.
Had she not done that, you still would...
I'd be screwed.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd be done.
So 20 days in jail, what happens with school?
Oh, the dean of the school within Rutgers, the campus that I was on, he came. He apologized. He said, "Is there anything we can do to help you?"
So they were
catch up in class and everything. Yeah,
really?
And I was like, "Oh, you know, I'll deal with it. I'll be okay." I mean, you know, I was a terrible student anyway. But
I can continue my D's.
And I just exactly how am I going to ever just hold up the standards of my 1.2 GPA? And everybody kind of like you know. Patted me on the back and said, "We cool?" And I was like, "Yeah, we cool. Let's just pretend like this never happened."
Wow.
And
But you didn't 5 years later tell your parents, just go, "Hey, by the way, this is pretty funny. You'll find this funny now."
No, because you know what? Honestly, I probably should have. Yeah. And if I would have, if it wasn't for like the two stints in rehab between then.
They were still really disappointed in him.
Yeah, you had a big drug problem when you were young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that now it's like now that I kind of got away with it, I feel bad, you know, because you don't want to hold secrets from your parents or people that you care about.
But you feel good that you were able to do it. I mean, that's an accomplishment.
Yeah.
You were in jail for 20
and
days.
And I met such good people in Newark prison.
Yeah. Oh, lifelong friends?
Oh, friends forever.
All right. We're going to take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. Lies you told and did not get away with. Because those are always funnier to find out how it happens. We have Zach on the line. Hi, Zach.
Hi. How's it going?
Hi, Zach.
Good. Thanks. What lie did you tell?
Okay, so I didn't want to be a lawyer, but my parents were super set on me becoming one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, that reminds me. I'm sorry, Zach. Can you hold your story for 1 second?
Yeah, that's cool.
They interviewed the dad of the girl that ran away from UCLA, and he said she's going to go back to school.
Wow.
Right?
Those parents are not taking no for an answer.
Right. Those parents, that may be the problem.
I kind of feel bad for her.
All right. So, Zach, your dad says he wants you to go to law school.
Yeah, they want me to go to law school. And so I applied, mm-hmm. and I got accepted to all the law schools that I went to. But every time I received an acceptance letter, I would call my parents and be like, oh, I didn't get in.
So they think you didn't get into any schools.
They thought that I didn't get into any of the schools I applied to, but so, I got into every school I applied to.
Okay. But did they ever find out the truth?
So one day, because my sister, like, she saw the letters in my hand,
mm-hmm.
and, like, when you get an acceptance letter, it's usually a lot thicker packet than the, you know, decline.
The decline is just one sheet that says, we regret to inform you.
Yeah, basically, yeah, you suck. And then, like, the, you know, the acceptance letter is a lot bigger.
Yeah,
like, you know, there's a lot of stuff. And so my sister, she rooted through my trash.
What?
Yeah. She went through my stuff. She went through my trash can, and she found all the acceptance letters. And then she told my parents.
Oh, why did she do that? What's wrong with her?
Because she's nosy.
Well, that's worse than nosy.
Well, you were probably a mean brother.
Were you a mean brother?
No.
You were a mean brother.
Come on. You tortured her.
There's no question about you being a mean brother.
I'm her little brother. She tortured me as a child.
Oh, well, wow. Then she was just continuing.
So then they found out, and you had a heart-to-heart with them, and did you tell them, I don't want to be a lawyer?
Yeah, I told them, I don't want to be a lawyer. My mom's like, oh, we don't care.
Well, why didn't you just, why didn't you just say that in the beginning?
Yeah, that's what my mom said. She was like, you know, just do what makes you happy. I don't care if you want to be a lawyer.
What about your dad?
My dad didn't care either.
What?
Why to us?
That's so funny. That's wow. Just people not talking to each other.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, thank you for the call. That's awesome. Nope, got turned down again. Nope, sorry. Tried again, didn't. Nope, got turned down. Let's go to Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Stephanie.
What's the biggest lie you told that you got caught at?
About 10 years ago or so, you know the McDonald's Monopoly game?
Of course.
I told my parents that I won a pair of jet skis, and... they believe me, they got all excited, and then nothing happened because obviously I didn't, and then they made me call McDonald's, and McDonald's had to tell me that I needed to send, like, certification, like the little stamp certified mail, and I told them I didn't, and then I told them that my boyfriend, who was really mean to me, decided he wanted to keep them for himself.
Okay, wait. So you didn't have jet skis?
No.
Well... isn't that the reason you would lie to your parents? Is that
you bought them, but you didn't want them to know it?
Right, you spent money on jet skis, so that's why you tell your parents you want them, because you don't want them to know you spent the money.
That makes sense now. But...
So at the time, you hadn't won anything, but you told them you did.
I told them I won.
That's so weird, Stephanie.
That is a bizarre lie. You're nuts.
I still think that my boyfriend cheated me out of jet skis.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
I think I love you. All right, Stephanie, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. We'll take a break and come back. 1-800-520-1067. The biggest lie you told and got caught. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about giant lies that you told and got caught. There's a local story about a girl who told her parents that she was going to UCLA for 2 full years while she wasn't. 2 years.
You know, it turns out her parents are from El Salvador, and I think maybe she's the first person in their family to go to college, and the pressure was probably enormous. Not that this excuses her lying, but they were over the moon about her going to school, wearing the shirts and everything. I can imagine it would have been hard to say, yeah, I dropped out.
And again, afterwards, after they found out the hoax, she said she was kidnapped, and she was... After they found that out, her dad said, she'll be going back to school.
Oh, she'll be going back.
Right, which then I go, whoa.
Apparently he's going to be driving her every day.
Look what she went through to not go to school. Maybe she doesn't want to go to school.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
All right, so we're talking about lies that you got caught in. Let's begin with Jacob. Hi, Jacob.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Hi. What did you lie about?
Well, long story short is that basically I wanted to go on vacation for about a year. My boss said, oh, no, sorry, you can't. And I lied and said I had to go to a funeral in Hawaii. And turns out he knows everybody there, and he caught me in a big lie, and I got in pretty big trouble for it. I'll never do it again.
So wait a minute. You told him you were going to a funeral in Hawaii. Why would he check up on that? Why would he think you were lying? Were you unreliable?
Well, yeah, basically, I went to he basically flies Hawaiian Airlines a lot, so he knows, like, everybody on the plane.
Oh,
and turns out he, one of the flight attendants called him, and then after calling him, he went to Hawaii and looked for me and found me, and I got in pretty big trouble for it.
So. Wow.
Went to Hawaii
what kind of boss do you have?
Basically, never do it again. I got suspended for 2 weeks, and now he said I'm stuck with him, working for him for another year.
But what? It sounds like he works for the mob.
Physically went to Hawaii and found you.
Yeah.
That sounds like an 80s sitcom.
There's no way that happened. What boss is going to do that? If he finds out, he's just going to call.
It's more of a stalker's type, I guess, of him. He's pretty strict.
There is about 99% of this story that we're not being told. Right? You get that idea? There's a lot going on here.
What do you do, Jacob?
Waste disposal.
Well, I'm not going to say it's my fault, but there's times when I need a vacation, and if he's not going to give it to me, then what the hell? You know, I might as well go.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're in the family, aren't you? You're
in
the mafia.
Yeah, that's what I think.
You're in the mob.
Well.
That's what I thought. All right. Yeah, well, you know how that goes. Let's go to Matt. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin and Bean? Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Matt.
Are you also in the mob and told him that you had to go to a funeral in Hawaii?
No mob for me.
Okay, good.
Actually, last year I was at the tail end of a relationship that, I was pretty much over but hadn't pulled the trigger on yet. And anyway, my best friend wanted to go on a booze cruise to Mexico, the 3-day carnival cruise, and I told him how much fun they were, and he wanted to go, and there was no way that my girlfriend was going to be okay with me going on said cruise to Mexico.
Right.
So I came up with this really, really elaborate story about how my friend's dad had chartered a fishing boat for the weekend out of Oxnard, and we were going to be out of cell phone range, and phones were going to be off, and I even laid out all my fishing equipment and packed a duffel bag full of grubby clothes.
That sounds like you had all your bases covered. How did she find out?
She just said that I didn't sell it well enough and that the whole thing smelled funny. So what happened was is she had come down to my apartment, and she was still on the lease, even though we weren't living together anymore, and asked the leasing office for a key. So she went through, and she saw that all my fishing equipment and duffel bag were still there, but my garment bag and my three-suiter Samsonite and all my nice clothes were not there.
Oh, wow.
And
she's good.
She called every hotel in Vegas before realizing he could be on a cruise because, as luck would have it, she and I met on that exact same cruise ship, on that exact same cruise.
Wow.
And that was adding insult to injury.
Wow. So, what? How far is she? This is weird how far people go to bust you. I mean,
last
guy's boss flew to Hawaii.
I know.
She went to his house, got an extra key, went in, went through his stuff.
Well, if you really suspect someone is lying to you, especially someone close to you, it gets to be like a passion. You got to find out what's going on.
Did you break up after that?
Yeah. Needless to say, I had a not so happy message waiting for me in my room after dinner when I got back. And
but you were relieved, Matt.
And that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I was actually feeling sick to my stomach about it because I just felt bad that that I made her feel like that. That was definitely. I felt more bad about it afterwards than anything. So.
Look at that.
He's a nice guy.
All right. So you're not in the mob. All right. Good. Keeping track. Let's see here. Let's go to Sean, who is a very smart 16-year-old at the time. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
What'd you do?
Well, when I was in high school, I was not very good in school. I got a lot of Fs and Ds. Mm-hmm. And so report cards came in one day, and I had all Fs in every single one of my classes. And at the time, I was playing baseball, and my folks told me, you know, if you get any more Fs or Ds, you're going to be out of baseball. So
you can let that happen.
In order to stay in baseball, I threw away my report card. I went home, told my folks that, oh, you know what? They forgot to email my report card, or it's going to be late, so they're going to give it to me tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
So the previous day, I had gone into the front office, and I asked the front office to give me a printout of my grades, because they'll do that at any time.
Right.
So they printed me out just a regular computer printout of my grades. I went home, and about 3 o'clock that next morning, I got up, turned on my computer, and copied it font for font, text for text, everything, and made the paper that I made look just like the one that the school printed me out with all the S and Ds, except that changed my grades to Bs and Cs.
So you had Bs and Cs, good.
Yeah.
How did they find out?
Oh, my counselor had called my folks to make an appointment to talk about my grades.
Yeah, because you had all Fs.
So my mom takes the paper that I printed out, took it into the office, and my counselor looks at it and says, well, these are the same thing. She thought it was a mistake and changed my grades to the ones that I had changed them to.
Wait a minute. You're telling me then that the school thought they made the mistake, and then the school gave you B's and C's?
Exactly. They put the grades that I put on the paper on their paper.
Huh.
What? Find that hard to believe.
It's exactly what happened. I was freaking out. I thought they were going to kick me out of school. I thought all this stuff. And then they were like, you know what? He's been advancing, because by the time that they made the appointment, I had brought my grades up to, like, C's.
Oh,
so
I see.
They had just changed the grades back to what they were.
Wow, that's
so
the best lie ever.
So you did get caught.
He sort of got caught, but then it worked out.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird that school said are bad? All right, go ahead. That's bizarre. Let's go to Erica. Hi, Erica.
Hi, guys. Yeah, Eric.
What did you tell your parents?
I told my parents that I was in the Navy.
What?
Were you in the Navy?
I joined for 2 years, and I got kicked out for having marijuana possession.
Okay.
And my parents were the wear hats, wear shirts, like, can't wait to go to your boat kind of people.
Right.
So I could not confess that I had gotten kicked out for possession.
So how long did you How long did you lie?
2 years. They just found out last week when DFAS sent me a bill saying that I hadn't paid taxes for the 2 years that I was in.
Oh.
And my parents were like, 2 years that you were in? Really?
Oh,
what happened
God.
To all the other money?
Were they pissed?
Yeah. They're like, where have you been the last 2 years? Because I told
you were you living at home?
I was living at home half-time and living at a friend's house out by Point Magoo.
Oh, to make it more realistic.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's get one more, because this is the funniest way that I've seen anyone get caught. David is on the line. Hi, David.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What was your lie?
And how? I went to, I call out sick from work and went to an Angel game because my sister got like some really good tickets. Mm-hmm. And it was the day they clinched the division like 2 years ago.
So it was a daytime game. You wanted to get out of work.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I went to the game with them, called out sick. I was out of sick days. And then at the very end of the game, after they clinched the division,
mm-hmm.
like the camera just did a close-up on me standing there clapping. Everyone from work was just sitting in the break room. Game.
Oh, my God.
So everybody at work was watching the game, and you were on TV, a close-up of you.
Yeah.
On TV.
And the next day, I come in, and we're doing the morning briefing, and, like, somebody who works with me, like, leans over, so, you were sick yesterday. Yeah, really? So you weren't at the Ames game? I'm like, no.
Did the boss see you?
Yeah, apparently, but he's the only one who was, like, really dogging me on it.
If I was your boss, I would give you credit for stones. I would say, that's a good lie. Funny you got caught that way. Don't do it again.
Yeah, well, I ended up getting fired, like, 3 months later.
Oh, you're fired. Either way.
Yeah. For a reason.
Why did you get fired then? I mean, calling in sick and going to an Angels game wasn't enough.
Because I flew to Sacramento for Thanksgiving instead of staying there for Black Friday.
Okay.
You're a bad employee. They made the right decision. Thank you for calling, David.
I am fascinated by these stories of people who try to domesticate wild animals. And it's not like it's not something we don't all want to do. Look, everybody has seen a bear cub and gone, oh, my God, that's so awesome. I would love to spend time with that. And you can to a point. But at another point, you go, okay, now he can kill me. It's
right.
No longer a pet, right?
Right.
That's what most of us do.
You haven't seen this yet. They gave me a screener bean. This guy has raised him since he was a cub. And is now trying to make him wild.
It's the reverse.
He's trying to teach him how to go back into the wild and fend for himself and all that kind of stuff. And that usually doesn't work either.
Well, I get all that, but there's still, I mean, he's still a wild animal, even if he's raised from birth and you believe you've got this unshakable connection. There still can come a point where the grizzly bear says, hey, it just occurred to me, I'm a bear and you're a human, right?
Yeah, it happens.
Here's the beginning of the show.
There are few things in life better than a fishing trip with a close friend. My best friend is Brutus, a 900-pound grizzly bear.
All right. Good times. That's how it starts.
I want to see this show. It is Expedition Wild, Project Kodiak, and it debuts tonight at 9 on a brand new cable channel called Nat Geo Wild, a channel that's only been on the air for about a week or so, but this is exactly the show to put him on the map. Casey Anderson joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. Hey, Casey, thanks for calling in, man.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Brutus is awesome. I want a bear, too.
No, you don't.
Now, you work at some kind of a rescue place, right, for bears?
I do. I the rescue sanctuary called Montana Grizzly Encounter, where we rescue bears that can't be put back in the wild, come from horrible captive situations, and that are all going to be euthanized. So we give them a second chance and give them an opportunity to be ambassadors to their wild cousins.
I'm sorry to have to ask this question because I know you get asked it every single time. But, you know, that other dude got eaten by a bear.
He did, yeah. No, rules you got to play by or you do get eaten by a bear. And the number one rule is remembering that grizzly bears are grizzly bears.
Mm-hmm. Right.
At any time that they can, they do have the capability to kill you. So to understand them and to respect them, and they're definitely projecting body language all the time that will give you a good indication if something's going to happen.
And a bear that big could kill you without even putting out any effort. Zero.
Yeah, that's
definitely
true.
It wouldn't tire them out or anything. It wouldn't. You know what I mean?
Just, yeah, right. It wouldn't be a fight. No one would be betting on you, Casey, is what we're saying. All right. So you say you have to be aware of the body language, and obviously you know this animal as well as you know your own wife because you've spent so much time with them for 7 years, but there must be times where you have to let your guard down or you don't think about it or you're not paying that close attention. I mean, I see some of these – I haven't seen the show yet, but I see some of these pictures of him standing around with you or going fishing with you, and clearly you can't be keeping an eye and being prepared to run or stun gun or whatever your plan is at all times.
You can be. 90% of the time, Brutus is just being a grizzly bear at the sanctuary, wrestling with other bears, playing, digging holes, knocking over trees. And this other 10% of the time is out of his choice to have this companionship with the person that raised him. So if it's long as it's on his terms, and I'm, like I said, paying attention, doing things that are fun, he's not hungry, he's not in need, he's not in a dangerous situation, and constantly watching his body language when I'm around him. Yeah, I mean, there's risk in anything you do, and sure, this may be a little riskier than walking the dog in the park, but if
depends on the dog.
If you're an expert and you pay attention and to that body language, they're not as unpredictable as a lot of people would think.
I had a screener. I watched tonight's episode. Tell us what you can about that meal and how many times that bear eats that meal.
Well, that meal's pretty close to a normal meal. He does eat 40 pounds of food a day, and most of it is fruits and vegetables and a little bit of meat like chicken.
But he says chicken like it's a leg. It's the whole chicken.
Yeah, the whole chicken.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It's ridiculous the amount of stuff this thing eats.
I mean, in that meal, he did eat a big cake and some pancakes, and that's more of a treat. He does have a sweet tooth just like a person and enjoys his treats once in a while, but I got to keep him in good shape so we don't give him too much.
Yeah.
Casey Anderson is on the line. He is the subject of, I won't say star because I think Brutus is probably the draw, of Expedition Wild Project Kodiak, which debuts tonight on the Nat Geo Wild channel. Every time there's a story in the news about a wild animal and people say, hey, we need to put that animal back in the wild to be with his people, the SeaWorld whale is the one that comes to mind. People always say it's really hard for animals that are domesticated to go back and live wild because they don't think like that. Is that going to be the case with Brutus too? Is it going to be tough sledding for him?
Absolutely. I mean, especially with bears, they're so intelligent. And, in Project Kodiak, you will see that it's like fishing and swimming. They're things that we think maybe are instinctual for a bear, but they are actually things that are taught from one generation to the next. And without Brutus ever having the opportunity to be raised by a wild mother who knows where all the food sources are and what time of year to go where, there's no way he would survive.
One of the funniest things that I've ever seen was him trying to teach this bear to fish. And he sets up his own little waterfall to kind of show, when the salmon jump upstream and then they catch him. And this is the audio from that.
You ready, buddy, for the real thing? We got you a big trout. Time to catch fish like you do in Alaska.
He throws the fish up, and the bear doesn't move, and it doesn't acknowledge the fish, and the fish just bounces off his forehead. And that was it. I mean, that was his whole thing. It was like, he's not catching on real quick.
No, and
is he retarded?
One of the biggest hurdles, is the fact that out there in the wild, these bears have to, every second of every day, they're looking for their next meal. I mean, that's what their life involves. Brutus is spoiled.
Right.
And his fishing tactic that he would prefer is just on a platter served with like a dill garnish. That's the way he would like to eat salmon.
Did he say dill garnish? He told you that?
it's just that the working for food is not a big part of Brutus's life. And so that was actually the hardest part to overcome with trying to teach him how to fish.
Does Brutus come in the house and sit on the couch and watch TV with you guys?
He does not. I mean, I have had him in the house, but it doesn't take too long to realize that a grizzly bear in the house is not a good idea.
By the way, you're married, and the photo of you and your new bride and the bear at the wedding.
It's the best wedding picture I've ever seen.
That must have, I mean, were there people there? Or was that a separate ceremony?
Well, he was more of my honorary best man, but right. we did afterwards pose for the photos.
When everybody ran first?
Yeah, when everybody was doing other things.
Yeah.
All right, Casey, you've probably already shot a season or close to it before it debuts tonight on Nat Geo, right?
Yes, yeah, and we have several other shows coming out in this Expedition Wild series, and this new Nat Geo Wild channel is just really incredible.
That sounds awesome. My question was going to be, if it's not giving too much away, are you able to get Brutus back out into the wild, or is that something we have to keep watching to find out?
So far, that's not the case, but, you know, we're going to keep trying to do cool new things like that.
And
we'll see what happens.
And the follow-up to that is, are you going to live?
I am, yes. Okay, well, many good. More interviews to come, good. I promise.
I mean, I don't want to get into it if you're going to end up not being the host. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Be too much of a bummer.
Right.
Casey, you are, for those of us, and many of us on the show, are extreme animal lovers. We're super jealous of the experiences you're able to have with your job out there in Montana. And Brutus looks awesome, too. I can't wait to check out the show, and I'm looking forward to it tonight at 9 on the Nat Geo Wild channel. By the way, you can go to Nat Geo Wild on the web and find out where the channel is in your city. Thanks so much for joining us, Casey. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, bye now.
Look, hear my whole thing. They call it a killer whale.
That isn't the name.
You can't be surprised if you climb into a tank and you don't climb back out, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Just in case you've been on vacation the last few days and have missed the story from SeaWorld in Orlando, here's a news report on what happened.
Tourists gathered for a show at SeaWorld in Orlando. Then, without warning, something went terribly wrong. As the horrified audience watched, a killer whale attacked one of the park's most experienced trainers and drowned her.
The popular Shamu show at Orlando's SeaWorld hadn't yet begun when the park's largest killer whale, a 12,300-pound male orca named Tillicum, swam toward 40-year-old female trainer Dawn Branshew and, according to one witness, pulled her underwater.
She was standing on the rocks right above the viewing area. He jumped out. He took off, and then he came back. He jumped off, grabbed her, started thrashing around, and then her shoe fell off. I mean, he was thrashing her around pretty good. It was violent.
She wasn't actually in the water, it sounds like.
I heard she had waded in. She wasn't out there in the middle with him, but she had kind of waded into the shore.
Do you guys have any kind of report on her shoe? Does anyone know if both of her shoes made it?
To the shoe. That's what I'd like to know.
I think that's how violently she was being shaken. I think that's what the point is. That. Yeah, he grabbed her by the ponytail. But here, this is the age-old question, and this comes up. Every couple of years, a story like this will happen. Maybe it's an elephant going crazy in a zoo, or it's a whale going crazy in a theme park like this. And you start to go, well, they need more room. It would be like you being confined to your bathtub for the rest of your life.
They actually need the ocean, is what they need.
They need the ocean. That's what they need. So, I mean, the miracle for me is that it doesn't happen more often. So what do you do if you're SeaWorld now and you've got this whale who, by the way, has killed before? It's a serial killer whale.
It is a serial killer. Yeah, that's true.
What do you do with him? Do you just not do shows with him anymore? Do you try to relocate him to someplace else, maybe to, you know, a reserve or something like they did with Free Willy? I mean, do you make it a Free Tilly situation, or what do you do with the whale? Or like they do with a dog, kills a kid or something like that, they put the dog down. Is that, I mean, some people think that that's what ought to happen to the whale.
Yeah, those people should be put down. This has killer in the name of the animal. F you. You get in with it, you die. That's the way life works. You know that ahead of time.
It's definitely a possibility. Like you said, it's happened before.
Yeah, it's happened.
How many
before?
People has Tilly killed?
Well, I think they're blaming him for two, and then there was a third one that kind of jumped into the tank, so it's really not her fault.
All right. Or his? So, is it a her or a him?
It's a him.
Okay.
It's a boy whale.
All right.
So anyway, bad times down there, and then right now they have suspended the whale shows there, but we thought we'd get the very latest information. We asked producer Alex to line us up, somebody who can talk to us from SeaWorld in Orlando, Florida, and find out what the latest is on the tragic Tilly situation.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir. You work for SeaWorld, sir?
No. Well, yeah, I guess technically I do work for SeaWorld, but I'm not I don't sell churros or something.
We were hoping you'd be a spokesperson for the park that can tell us about what the plan is for the killer whale there.
I am the killer whale.
is Tilly?
This is Tillicum.
What?
Yeah, don't call me Tilly, because that sounds like a fag. I'm a male whale. My name is Tillicum.
Right, but your nickname is Tilly.
Well, that's gay.
Okay, all right.
But actually, my name is Cyril, but no one ever calls me that.
So you'd prefer Tillicum, then?
I would prefer that, yeah.
Okay.
If you don't call me Tillicum, I will grab you by the ponytail and shake you till you're dead.
Wow.
Okay, I don't want that at all. All right. Let's first of all, I'm shocked that you are answering the phone and that you speak English. That's amazing.
Well, have you know that orcas are very smart animals?
Right.
And so, you know, why would you be surprised? I'll just have to hit one button.
With what, though? You don't have fingers?
Yeah.
No, I don't have fingers.
I'm saying.
Mr. Biology Major.
How are you holding the phone, then?
Well, you ever heard of a thing called a flipper?
Yeah?
Yeah. I just did that. I took my flipper and I hit the button.
Okay, take it easy.
Why don't you take it
easy? I'm just asking questions.
Why don't you come take a swim down here in Orlando?
I have no need to take a swim with you.
I'd like you to have
That's
a swim.
All right. Thank
I
you.
You need a swim.
I don't.
What you need.
I don't.
A nice, relaxing swim in my tank.
I'd rather not.
I bet you wouldn't.
You don't mind.
Tillicum, do you have some anger management issues? Is that part of the problem here? Because it seems like you got a pretty short fuse.
You know what? My fuse is quite long, I'll have you know.
Okay.
Why don't you come over here and take a look at my fuse?
No, I'm not talking about
my fuse right in your ear.
I mean, it's an expression to say that you have a short temper. It seems like it's very easy for you to get anger and irritated.
Oh, is it? Let me tell you a little something about me, mate. Let me tell you what happened to me.
Okay.
I was born in lovely Iceland, all right?
Okay.
Floating around with my mom and my other brothers and sisters.
Right.
Then somebody from Canada comes and picks me up out of the water and takes me to a theme park in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved me to Orlando, which, in case you don't know, is in Florida.
It is, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Florida?
I have.
Sure.
Florida sucks.
It's pretty bad. It's one of the worst states, yes.
So now I live in a swimming pool in Florida.
Right.
Yeah, I've got some anger issues. Yeah, you might say that.
But I mean,
I killed that lady. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't.
Well, I think you did.
There were witnesses. People saw you do it, though.
Oh, Your Honor, I didn't realize that you were a jury of my peers. Well, consider me convicted then. I'll go along peacefully like that, officer. Just put me right in whale jail.
At what point in your upbringing did you get the British accent, Kelly?
I was born with it.
Okay, all right.
Because, you know, Icelanders are big Brits.
Okay. They're Brits, are they?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hey, Tilly, isn't it true?
What did I say about Tilly?
Tillicum, sorry. Okay.
You don't listen. You locked that bitch in the tank. She just didn't listen.
Well, she was a trainer, technically.
So I had to take her and I had to shake some sense into her.
I thought you said you didn't do that.
Well, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. All I know is when her shoe came off, she had a pain right there in her ankle.
Yeah.
It made her foot loose. Thank you and good night.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This weekend, of course, is Coachella.
Ella.
Oh, God damn.
I hate you more than life itself. Because if you did that once, it would be bad. You've done it 200 times
now. He won't stop.
We are going to be broadcasting Friday from out there, which is going to be cool.
Where has that happened, man?
Coachella.
For those of us that don't know.
It's out by Palm Springs.
Is the name of the town Coachella?
Yes.
Indio.
And then
Indio. It's Coachella Valley.
Yes.
Coachella Valley, and it's Indio, and then a bunch of bands get together. Who is it?
130 bands.
List them all right now.
3 days.
Jay-Z is the headliner on Friday night. Muse is the headliner on Saturday night.
Jason Muse?
Yes.
And
Gorillaz.
The Gorillaz are there. I heard the dude on before when I was driving in. The dude on The Voice, what's his name? The British guy.
That guy, yeah.
Yeah. Is he supposed to be? Is he?
Hold
when
that
he was
thought.
On.
Hold right. that thought. 7 minutes after eight.
All right, now you can pick up that conversation now that the affiliates
are
back.
Here's my question: okay. When that dude spoke in that little bumper where he's like, "Hello, this is blah blah from the Gorillaz,"
right?
Is he supposed to be the fake character, or is that the real dude? I'm not quite
That's
sure about
dude.
This
I
band.
Think he, well, did he say his name was Damon Albarn? Because if he did, he was the real dude who's in the band Gorillaz. Or did he say it was a character name?
When he's portraying the character in the Gorillaz, he's that character. When he's in Blur or doing other things, he's Damon Albarn.
Okay, he's in a different band?
Yeah.
A Blur? Wow, man.
Okay.
So much I don't know.
Yeah, we got to bring you up to speed. We need to send you to school. Hey, you want to introduce our next guest, Kevin Smith, here on the Kevin and Bean Show?
I like this guy. This dude's hands down one of the funniest people in the world, if not the funniest, and always a pleasure to be around. And this dude saved a little picture called Cop Out. Ladies and gentlemen, Tracy Morgan.
Hey.
Tracy.
Hey.
Tracy.
Yes, what's up?
How are you, sir? I've been thinking about you so fondly for the last 3 weeks because I've been looking at the...
Hero, man. You know you're the chief.
No, I'm not the chief.
Are you the chief?
No, I'm not the chief.
Yes, he is, man. I'll follow you into battle anytime.
No, I mean, honestly, this dude was... I can't stress it enough. This dude was the absolute goods and really, like, saved the whole picture. He carried the whole picture on his back.
I don't know that he saved it or carried it, but he was... I mean, he did stand out as, wow, that guy is funny and amazing.
And announced with authority.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We would be on the set, and me and Kev, we were just conspiring, man. Let's do this. Let's do that. It was like cool. Two brilliant minds coming together.
Right.
I don't know about brilliant.
But the difference is
two minds came together.
The difference is if I was on set and I was working with Kevin and we would have come up with a plan and then it wouldn't have worked because it's me. But you can pull it off, Tracy. That's why we like you.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Death at a Funeral. Tell us about Death at a Funeral and how it came about, how you became involved in it.
They asked me to do it. Chris is a good friend of mine. I've worked with Chris a few times.
Chris Rock, yeah.
Yeah, he's family with me and Kev, and we all, and, you know, he asked me to do it, and I jumped on board. I said, absolutely, you got it. And then, you know, the director, I've worked with two great directors in my life, Neil LaBue and Kerry Smith. Those guys bring out the best in me. So, I was fortunate. I was fortunate to come off of that job into the Cop Out movie, so good times all around.
He did. He came right off of that flick and had nothing but good things to say about it. And this is a remake of a British flick that Frank Oz had directed a few years ago. Neil LaBute directed this remake, which seems funny as heck. I don't know if you've seen the trailers, but...
Yo, I had two great directors last summer, man, and they were both like laid back and funny dudes, man, so I was good. I was real good.
I have a clip. We're trying to bring this back on radio, Tracy, and that is that we play a movie clip on the radio, hoping that it will inspire people to want to go see the movie.
Let's see if it translates.
All right. So this is the scene where you're talking about the dude who fell out of the coffin.
You think it's going to translate?
I feel it.
But what do you think?
Well, let's check it out. Let's see what's happening.
Let's give it a try.
That was heavy duty the way your father fell out of his coffin like a dead fish. He was like, wow. I was like, damn.
It doesn't matter what the line is. No, Tracy, man, can make it funny.
Totally. And you know Funeral's in the title and you heard dead father, blow. I'm there. That works.
It is unusual, though, isn't it, guys, to take a movie that's only like 10 or 15 years old or something like that?
Not even that old, because I saw the original.
Is it not even that old?
I don't remember it.
Two years old.
Yeah, it's not that old at all. It's not that strange
anymore. I'm getting ready to redo Avatar.
Is that right? And then you're going to follow that up with Cop Out?
No, I'm going to follow that up with the remake of Orca.
Who are you in Orca? Are you Bo Derek or are you Richard Harris or are you the whale?
I'm Richard Harris. I'm auditioning some killer whales. I don't want to use Free Willy because I don't want the Finn bit. I want to street Finn.
Okay.
All right. By the way, I heard this morning on the news that they're remaking Overboard, the Goldie Hawn movie. I don't know if you guys heard about that. They're remaking Real Genius, and they're talking about remaking Dune now, too. That's going to be coming back again.
Running out of ideas.
Oh, yes.
There's ideas. They just won't pick them up.
No, you got there at the wrong time. They're using all the old ideas. But Tracy's breath of fresh air, so he'll make them use some new ideas.
But, you know, Neil LaBute.
I want to turn the whole movie around.
No kidding. Tracy, I have a movie. The other day when I was driving back from San Francisco, I thought of a movie that I wanted to do with you, and I want to call you up and tell you about it. And it's I think it's kind of perfect. It's like three movies in one.
Hey, Kev, done deal, man. You know, I told you before, anything you do, I want in. If you sell a nickel bag in the park, I want in.
Totally. You're going to get a taste. I'm going to let you wet your beak a lot, my friend. I owe you. Pumpkin Escobar.
Cool stuff.
He's been nickel bagging it in the park for a long time, I'll tell you that. Now, this movie has...
Are we liable if a drug deal just went down on our show? Are we somehow responsible for this?
You get a taste, if that's what you're asking.
Yes,
absolutely, you get a taste.
This movie is Chris Rock, Martin Lawrence, Tracy Morgan, and Luke Wilson, James Marsden, Zoe Saldana, Danny Glover, Regina Hall, Peter Dinklage.
Wow, man, that's a tremendous
cast. That's a cast, right?
Zoe Saldana is the chick from Avatar, right?
Yeah.
The cat lady. Yeah. Oh, she was so sexy in that movie.
She was, wasn't she?
Yeah, the cat lady.
Yeah.
And Trace, did you have a good time? Neil LaBute is such a good guy. I met him once, gave him an award for the first movie that he did.
He was so laid back, but he was so happy.
The day I gave him the award, it was like a Critics Group award. He was so beside himself and happy that when he got up, he literally kissed me on the mouth.
Wow.
I'd never met the dude. I was handed to him, and he gave me a kiss on the mouth.
Let me just follow up on that. Tracy, at any point, did he try and kiss you on the mouth?
A couple of times.
times.
All right.
I'm with Lisa, by the way. This is the last movie in the world I would expect a director like Neil LaBute to have his name on.
In the Company of Men, so disturbing.
Yeah, but Nurse Betty. Remember Nurse Betty was kind of like a fun, and Chris Rock was in that too.
That's true.
Is there a lot of ad-libbing in this movie, Tracy Morgan?
It's just like when I did Cop Out, man. We did what was on paper, and then they let me live. Kev let me live. A lot of times, me and Kev came up with a lot of stuff right there. Same thing with Neil LaBute. You know, his confidence. When the director lets him live, that's good stuff.
Is it kind of weird, though, that then when you do 2, 3, 4 takes down, you don't even know what's going to be in the movie and what isn't?
That's good, but that's a beautiful thing of it, man. I mean, the director has an idea.
And you just trust him to go with it.
Yeah, he has an idea. What am I
going to
do?
All right. It helps, too. Like, when you Tracy's the kind of guy, kind of actor that comes beyond prepared. Like, I've said it before. Like, some people go away for 3 days, and they'll pack, like, 3 bags, 4 bags. They'll overpack.
Right.
Tracy was going away for 3 days and packed 46 bags. Worth of funny. And, like, so when you were up against it, or there was a crack somewhere, or there was no dead space when Tracy was around, because he was always whipping into the bag, whipping funny at us. So he's a resource you want on any movie.
Can I borrow your funny bag?
We need treats, so I laid the treats on Kevin Neal.
Yes, he did. He gave us nothing but treats.
The film has a tremendous cast, as we have mentioned. I mean, you can't go wrong with Tracy Morgan, Chris Rock, and Martin Lawrence. I mean, just for starters, let's face it. Death at a Funeral is opening everywhere on Friday. Look, Kevin Smith didn't even direct this movie, yet he's saying go see it.
Three of my favorite elements, man. Neal LaBute, Tracy Morgan, Chris Rock. I'm totally there.
There you go.
Exactly. Yeah. Tracy Morgan, great to have you back on the Kevin and Meet Show, my friend. Thanks for calling.
Kevin Smith, I'm here.
Quite are you in town? Are you in town?
I'm ready to go.
All right, man, I'll give you a shot. Come over.
Tough.
Bye.
Offspring on the way, also Slightly Stupid, Rage Against the Machine, and we will talk to the winner. I hope. We haven't heard whether the winner has agreed to come on with us now, but we'd like to talk to, congratulate, and thank the winner of the big auction for the Weenie Rose prize package to raise money for our friend Annabelle. So that's all coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, what are we doing? What
kind of doing? Info Bean.
Oh, here we go.
Bean has Asperger's, and
Bean says, oh, here we go, like we make this stuff up.
Yeah. And one of the signs of Asperger's is that you have no clue when you're talking to somebody how well what you're saying is being received.
You can't read them.
Social insensitivity is known as.
Right.
Well, that's not me. That's something you make up.
Bean spends a lot of time reading, and then he'll just say stuff out of the blue. Now, the key here is that he says it to us in this room, and there's no conversation that leads into it. There's no opening sentence. There's nothing except for what Bean says. And then I write it down verbatim so that you know things like, while you're listening to a Sublime song, we're listening to Bean say, did you guys know that peaches were the first fruit eaten on the moon?
Oh, my God.
Now, again, the key here, not talking about the moon or fruit.
Nope.
We're never going to talk about the moon and fruit.
Out of the blue.
Not that that would ever happen.
It's
you're
not
right.
Gonna happen.
Peaches were the first fruit eaten on the moon.
How can that be interesting?
That's right, first Info Bean.
First of all, it's super interesting. But second of all, and I hate to bring this up every time you do this bit, but all conversation has to start somewhere. Okay?
Not that one.
That's not a conversation.
Every single topic can't grow out of something that's already been
said. That's not a topic.
Usually somebody has to clear the slate and start new.
Right, but we're not going to go, hey, that's interesting because I thought it was, another fruit and let's have a discussion about it. There's no discussion there.
How is that a conversation starter?
It's just a statement.
You don't even know, man.
That is just unleashed on us like a natural disaster. We just have to sit back and just try to survive it.
Now, here's my favorite
thing. You're the oil leak of conversation is what you are. You're BP.
Now, here's one of my favorites because this was shocking to me. Bean, who will continue a conversation with no... I mean, the rule in the room is don't respond to him when he says something like that. But I write down exactly what people say. So Bean says, Willie Nelson just cut his hair.
Okay.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on.
That's super interesting because the guy...
Let me finish. So then Lisa said, what? And then Mike said... What? Bean didn't continue. He left them hanging.
Son of a bitch.
He left them hanging.
Perhaps one time,
two people in the room said, what? Tell us more.
Where's your conversation starting argument now?
Now, you can't blame me for bringing that up because Willie Nelson has had those braids for 50 years. It's a big deal that he cut them off.
Okay, but you can't bail on the conversation when Lisa and Mike say what?
I don't remember trying to bail on that.
Info Bean.
Octopus have control of all 8 of their arms independently.
Now that's amazing.
And no one said anything, and then Bean said, that's interesting. And then no one said anything. And then Bean said, imagine being able to do that. And then no one said anything. And then Bean said, imagine how much stuff you could get done in a day.
You.
So then at that point, I had to break the rule. And I said, what kind of stuff do you need to get done if you're an octopus?
Good point.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
If only we as humans could control our arms separately. Wouldn't that be amazing? Is being around with both arms or just flailing in concert where he goes to pick up a can
They're
and actually both arms just gravitate towards it?
They're attached.
But this is eight arms. That's way more.
Info Bean.
Kevin, did you hire a stenographer, a court reporter?
Who's I write all this stuff fast down? As I can. I really, sometimes I have to slow you down. This is a rarer instance of being embarrassed by something that he does. I had to hide my purchase of the new Clay Aiken CD this week. Nobody said anything. And then Bean said, the girl behind the counter was looking at me kind of funny.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
You'd get that look no matter what you were buying, trust me.
I am still a claymate, and it is sometimes embarrassing at this point.
In basketball, Mike, what do they call it when you alley-oop to yourself? You pass it up by the rim, and then you catch it yourself and dunk it?
I think it's just traveling. Yeah.
Yeah, it's traveling, yes. How much time, Michael? Mike says, about a minute and a half.
Before we come back live, right?
Yes, Bean says, I'd love to stay and chat, but I'm busy making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, mother effer. So he asked the question about how much time so that he could then burn us.
Yes.
That's traveling.
I wanted to
know
if there was enough time in the song for me to finish making my sandwich. That's all.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
And finally, maybe the best ever, flies hum in the key of F. And then Ralph said, F U.
The key of F U.
Flies hum in the key of F.
That's that info, Bean.